Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you for another week live on TSN 990 in Montreal. Hello, Jay.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. We have important work to do tonight.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not work.
Well, it depends. It's play, kind of, but it's work as well.
I don't work. I manage a pub. Come on.
Well, you're going to
stand around and look important. That's what.
You're going to have to fake it tonight.
Okay.
You're going to have to stand around and sound important
tonight. I'm ready.
We've got a very, very, very big show for all of you this evening, and it's going to get started. We're going to bring in our first guest in a few minutes' time, Jason Reed, the director of Sonic's Gate. If you haven't seen it, watch it. The director's cut is online at sonicsgate.org. It has its American television premiere on Friday night on CNBC. They've cut it down to about an hour's length. And anybody that loves a professional sports team, any league, any level, you should watch this movie. As an Expos fan, it resonated very deeply. I look forward to speaking with Jason Reed in a few minutes' time. Then, for the rest of the hour, we've got a very special guest in studio. And I can't wait for you all to meet him. His name is David Gourlay, and he's bringing baseball back to Ottawa. So that's right. Hour one of the Kaufman Show is a professional franchise leaving town and a professional franchise returning. And we're going to look at the lessons from both and hopefully learn a few for Montreal.
The positive and the negative.
That's right. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. We've also got, now take a deep breath. You ready for this, Jay? Dan Gradinski, Travis Reitzma, Shaka Brody, Ben Christensen, Evan Wansbrough from the Isotopes, Timothy Lyle from Hitman 101. The list goes on and on. It's a really big Kaufman Show tonight. Jimmy G is here. John Kakalakis is here. And, I'm dreaming tonight. I want baseball back. I miss it. After watching a perfect game this weekend, after watching a triple play get turned, after watching Brett Laurie steal home.
Finally.
I want to talk some sports tonight. This is the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman. I'm with Jay Farrar. And we'll be right back. I'm working on it. Welcome back. It is the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. And our next guest is somebody that I'm very excited to speak with. His name's Jason Reed, and he directed a movie called Sonic's Gate. The movie's been out for a few years now. Hasn't gotten much press up here, and I wish it had, and we're very happy to change that tonight. But Sonic's Gate is the story of the Seattle Supersonics' departure from Seattle. And Expos fans, take heed. The story is very similar. Now, the premiere, the network television premiere, is on CNBC on both Friday and Sunday nights. And they've cut it down from the director's cut, which I watched yesterday, which is 2 hours long, to about an hour. I'm wondering what they took out of it. Anyways, we'll get to ask him right now. Jason Reed, welcome to the Kaufman Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Good talking to you.
Absolute pleasure. I loved your movie.
Thank you so much. And you know, we're so glad that a city, especially any team that's gone through something, that, you know, losing their team like Seattle has, you know, it's always, we're happy to share our story with fellow sports fans who've experienced the harsh side of the business of sports.
And it is a very harsh side, and it's amazing how long as a fan you can sort of cover your eyes and protect yourself from it, and then one day the business just hits you right in the face.
Yeah, I mean, you think, you know, losing and you know, even going to the finals and losing is heartbreaking. But to have, you know, basically the league turn their back on you and say that you as sports fans, you're 41 years in Seattle or 35 years in Montreal don't matter, and that we're just going to take the team away. It's something that is part of the fabric of the community. And it really just, you know, this would never happen in Europe. This would never happen with you know, Barcelona soccer team or something. I mean, people would be dying in the streets. So why this happens in North America and particularly in the United States is a unique phenomenon, I think.
Well, I don't know if it would happen in Barcelona or with Manchester United, but in the same token, it would never happen with the New York Yankees. It would never happen with the Boston Red Sox. And for some reason, a franchise like the Sonics, even though it had an incredibly storied history, got grouped in with the Vancouver Grizzlies, for lack of a better example.
Yeah, I mean, we had three generations of Sonic fans up here. He supported the team loyally. It's not like, you know, we didn't support the team. I mean, we were, you know, setting attendance records in the 70s and, you know, league leaders in the 80s and 90s. And even when our team was mediocre, we were still selling out the arena 95% until the last season, of course, when the team was sold to a group of investors from Oklahoma City, and they pretty much, you know, dismantled the team, and were, you know, the last season in Seattle, they were a franchise worst 20-62. So any team that's 20-62 getting blown out by 40 or 50 a night, you know, their attendance is going to suffer. And we still supported the team then. So.
Yeah, but and that's, well, and any hardcore fan would. I think about you spend a lot of time in this film profiling one fan by the name of Sherman Alexie, who
yes.
I think resonates. I'm sure that every city has a Sherman Alexie.
Oh, or many Sherman Alexie.
Or many. Here, I'm just going to play a couple of clips for him, if you'll bear with me for a second.
Yeah, no problem.
As I became more and more convinced they were gone, it made me want to be there even more, number one. But, I mean, it was psychic pain. It was humiliation and powerlessness.
What are the winters like getting through the week?
Not easy. I mean, it is death. I mean, it's been a year and a half of a funeral, a wake. And so the weather is depressing. The winters are depressing. They're gray and monotonous.
That's an audio clip from Sonic's Gate, a fan by the name of Sherman Alexie, who his passion, I imagine that you're the same, that basketball is your first love, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, pretty much all other sports could disappear. As long as I have my NBA basketball, I'll be happy. When push comes to shove, you know, and that's the hard thing. It's like here in Seattle, yeah, we have a football team and we have a baseball team. We even have a successful soccer MLS team. But for us, it's not the same. And especially given the weather and the climate here, it rains and it's gray the entire basketball season. And for four nights a week, we had a game on that we could watch. We had a team that we could root for. It kind of was what got you through the winter, you know. And now we don't have that. There's this big dead spot in the Seattle sports community, especially in NBA basketball fans' hearts, you know.
Jason, when did you first pick up the camera with the idea that you had something here?
Well, back before the team even left in 2008, when Clay Bennett had made his – Clay Bennett is the owner who from Oklahoma who bought the team from Howard Schultz, who's the CEO of Starbucks, a Seattle guy. And so, anyway, Clay Bennett bought the team, and part of the agreement was he was going to keep the team in Seattle, make a good faith best effort to keep them there. Well, once it became clear that he was going to do anything but and that all he wanted to do was move them to Oklahoma City, I started making videos. So there was rallies. We had an organization called Save Our Sonics. You know, we fought as hard as we could, tried to get the videos out, and they got linked to on ESPN, stuff like that. But ultimately, as Sherman Alexie said, it was, you know, fans were powerless against the powers that be, whether they were political, whether they were the business forces. You know, we were powerless, but we still tried, and we fought to the very end, at which point the mayor of the city of Seattle settled after a heated legal battle in which it allowed Clay Bennett to move the team. Now, a year went by because it was just a devastating blow, and it happened so quickly. I think everybody was coming to terms with that, but I knew I had documented things along the way, and I knew that if we could put the pieces all in one place for the first time and tell people this story, then people would understand our plight, both on a national level, both locally we had to understand it to understand what went wrong. Nationally, the story got buried. They said that we didn't support the team in Seattle, and that wasn't the case, you know. So I think that we put the story together and got it out as quickly as possible, released it for free online 2.5 years ago, and since then it's got nearly 1 million views and has really been a huge catalyst to trying to bring the NBA back to Seattle.
Sports Illustrated named the film the Grassroots Flick of the Year in 2009. It's won all sorts of awards on the festival circuit. Jason Reed is the director, and I'm sitting in studio with my co-host Jay Farrar, Jason. And Jay and I are sharing this look like, yeah, this is the exact same story.
Sounds so familiar. It's unbelievable how how there is such a...
Clay Bennett and Jeffrey Loria.
It's amazing. It's almost like a bizarro world Montreal Expo is going on in Seattle. Well, but it's, you know, it's I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, you look at what's happening in Sacramento right now, and they, you know, pretty much had saved the Kings, in quotes, about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Well, then all of a sudden it looks like the Maloofs, who are the team's owners, are trying to get out of the deal that they had an understanding of. And it's just like... The same words that are coming out of Stern's mouth and the owner's mouth are the same things we were hearing out of Stern's mouth and, you know, Clay Bennett's mouth 4 years earlier. And so, yeah, and I'm sure that that's the same as what was going on in Montreal and what was going on in Cleveland and what was going on, you know, in Baltimore and
every,
you know,
other malign city, exactly.
Yeah, I think the difference is we're in a time period now where information is very valuable when you can get it out there. And we live in a place where... 5 years ago, I don't know if our, you know, like when you guys were losing your team, it wasn't as easy to document things digitally and capture things and get it out there and have it spread virally like we've had this.
Non-existent,
spread.
Jason. It was non-existent. And there were no blogs. There was no social media. It did not exist.
Right. And then, like, so this is the first chance to say, hey, guys, this is what they've been doing for years. They've been doing in cities all over the country. And that was the big motivation for us, other than making it to educate people and to bring the NBA back, is as a warning sign to other cities or for other cities who have gone through something similar to understand that, A, they aren't alone, and, B, that, like, these are the powers that are at force here, and the fans really are helpless. And, you know, if they decide they want to move the team, they will move it, and there's nothing as a fan you can do about it. And, you know, other than become aware of it and... You know, I think that we've given the people of Sacramento a lot of advice, and I think our movie serves as a blueprint to other cities to at least understand the complexities of the situation and know you have a decision whether, you know, and unfortunately it comes down to, do you want to publicly, you know, subsidize the building of a new arena, or do you want to, like, you know, not do that? Because if you vote against that, then, you know, most likely when it's time to build a new arena – and the public, they can't get their public subsidy, then they're going to leave.
Yeah, Jason, is this something we're going to have to accept? I mean, there are hostile takeovers of companies all the time, and we do remember that professional sports is a business. Is it something that fans would just have to accept? It's not off. I mean, nobody's rooting for Pfizer, you know, and if they take over another company, is it something that we just have to accept as fans that we're going to lose the team and that it's a business?
I mean, I think that's a great point to bring up. I mean, we end the film, not to spoil it, because it won't really spoil it, but Sherman Alexie, who you played some clips from, we end the film talking about how, as Sonic fans, to get a team, we're going to have to take away a team from another city the same way that we had our team taken away from us. And so, you know, we as fans have been put into this situation, and of course, like I've said the whole time, like, all we want to do is get the NBA back to Seattle, and so we realize the complexity of the situation, and, you know, and we are realistic and know that the NBA is not going to expand. They're, if anything, going to contract, and
right.
So, you know, the only realistic way to get a team is to take another team. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, unfortunately, they've set the rules, they've set the precedent that this is how business is done, and unfortunately, you know, I think Brian Robinson, who appears in the film, who led Save Our Sonics, had a good analogy. And, you know, it's like when the Heat played the Knicks back in the 90s, you know, they let them foul a little bit harder, and that was the rules of that game. And unfortunately, that's the situation that these sports leagues have put the fans in. For better or for worse, that's the world we live in.
We're just finishing up with Jason Reed. Jason directed Sonics Gate, a fantastic film, a requiem for a team. If you haven't seen it, the director's cut, his version, 2 hours on sonicsgate.org. Otherwise, it premieres on CNBC on Friday and Sunday nights, so you can check out the hour-long cut version. Jason, how is the premiere of this on network television going to galvanize the movement?
Well, I mean, it's been huge. We've kind of been building up to this point. You know, it's kind of the little engine that could. It won't go away, you know, and every time we think, oh, okay, it's died down, you know, we'll move on to another project or do something else, you know, that's run its course, something else happens. And when CNBC approached us in December about, you know, acquiring the network TV rights, you know, we pretty much jumped at the opportunity, even though we knew it was going to be a lot of work because, you know, we've had almost 1 million people view it. Well, CNBC reaches 100 million households automatically. And so in order to get the message out and get our story out, this is the best way we could have ever imagined and a better trajectory than we would have ever anticipated for the film. And so, you know, we had to cut it down. We cut about half of it out. But really, when you watch the film, we didn't really lose anything.
I cannot wait to see the recap.
So, yeah, it's on CNBC Friday and Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And go to sonicgate.com to get more information about this new cut.
Thank you so much for your time, Jason. And please keep in touch and all the best with the movement. Hope you get your Sonics back.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show. On the other side of the break, we'll be joined by David Gourlay from Ottawa Champions Baseball. They taketh teams, they giveth teams. And man, we love our teams. Our heart goes out to the people of Seattle. We know your pain. And we'll be back. Welcome back. It is the Kaufman Show. Those are the Jimmy Riggers, and they will be at the Gary Carter benefit for the Sarah Cook Fund on May the 3rd. We'll tell you all about that a little later. Working on some great gifts, silent auction stuff for that night.
Yeah, looks you're working hard on it.
Kaufman. I am. It's a labor of love.
Yeah, and if you haven't got your tickets yet, go out and get them. It's all for a good cause. There's going to be a lot of entertainment that night.
Tickets available at the bar at Hurley's Irish Pub. $30 is the price. I would say that $300 is the entertainment value.
Absolutely.
A lot of bands, a lot of stuff going on.
Look at the lineup you got there.
Jimmy Riggers, Blushing Brides, Kristen Bissandry, most importantly, Mr. Anakin Slade. And I believe that this will be Anakin's first live performance of the Gary Carter tribute song.
Yes, it will be.
It is played before.
It's been played before. The video has been played before. He has never done it live yet.
So that's exciting.
I hope he hits his pitches and his notes and his chords.
Look at you, you mean older brother.
Well, you know, he's
not even here to defend
himself. He could sing.
I know he can.
Yeah, people don't know that he can actually sing as well.
Oh, so. Then they don't know the Go Public song, I guess, right?
They don't know. No, yeah. Well, why would they?
All right, so, I hope I didn't depress you all too much with that last interview.
There is hope in doom.
Jason Reed made a hell of a movie, and the fact that 1 million people have now seen it online is a testament to that. That it's 2 hours. I watched it yesterday afternoon, waited for the Bruins game to finish, and started it, and loved every second of it. And the way that your eyes were popping out of your head, Jay, with the similarities.
Yeah.
It was me yesterday watching this and seeing the way that Clay Bennett robbed that team out of Seattle. It brought back a flood of memories, and I got in touch with them right away. I said, I need to interview you on my show. I want to talk to you. And I loved the contrast between the professional sports team leaving in Seattle and our next guest. Mr. David Gourlay, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Always nice to be back in Montreal. Great memories of the Expos.
Yes, as I can see from your beautiful Gary Carter baby blue jersey.
Yes. Yeah, the beautiful away jersey.
Yeah,
nicely stitched. It's wonderful.
First time.
It's refreshing.
David, why don't you tell everybody what you do, who you
sure.
are?
Sure. I'm the founder of the Ottawa Champions for Baseball Initiative, which was something I started in February. Primarily in response to the opportunity we have in Ottawa for the return of professional baseball at the AA level. As I'm sure your listeners know, Dave, we at one time had AAA baseball with the Ottawa Lynx.
Of course.
They left Ottawa about 8 years ago. So the City of Ottawa and an organization called the Beacon Group have done some work together. The Beacon Group responded to an RFP process that the City of Ottawa put out for the return of baseball to Ottawa Stadium, which is a public asset in the City of Ottawa. And I, over the winter, or actually over the Christmas holidays, I was indoctrinated into the Jonah Carey book, The Extra 2%, on the Tampa Bay Rays. Well, it was actually a book about the Devil Rays more than the Rays itself,
right,
but a bit of a transition. And it's a book about baseball, but it's also a business book. And I realized after reading that book by Jonah that, you know, there's a real aspect of community that is required for a new asset like a baseball team in a community, especially somewhere like Ottawa. And Jonah took a lot of time to talk about the fact that a community has to be behind a baseball team, or sporting franchise, for lack of a better word. And I thought about this in the context of what we are trying to do in Ottawa. And I thought, let's start that process early, as opposed to later on when there's a problem or there's an issue. Let's get the community mobilized. Let's make sure that the community is well represented in supporting the concept of a team. We don't have a team in Ottawa yet. Double A baseball is a concept. There is certainly a lot of momentum even before we started this community mobilization drive, which I'll talk about in a minute. But it is essentially that. It's a concept. So let's start that process early, even before a team has arrived, so that potential investors, the City of Ottawa, the Toronto Blue Jays, who we are publicly courting through this process, understand that there is value in coming to Ottawa and having a professional franchise. There is support in the community. And when I say support in the community, I'm not just talking about baseball fans. I'm talking about baseball fans. I'm talking about sports fans. I'm talking about families. I'm talking about residents. I'm talking about the charitable sector, the business community. A sports team is much more than something just for baseball fans itself.
Right.
It is something that everybody can enjoy.
And it's for the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you travel throughout the United States, and I think Jonah talks a great length about this in his book in the context of Tampa Bay, you travel through the U.S., particularly in AA, AAA franchises, the ballpark is it's like a community association meeting. Everybody goes to the ballpark. If you watch the movie Bull Durham, that's exactly what they have in Durham. I believe it's North Carolina.
It is North Carolina.
North Carolina. Thank you.
That hit the bull, win a stake, by the way.
Exactly. Hit the bull, win a stake. That is exactly the type of leadership I'm looking to bring to Ottawa, so that the ballpark, the ball game itself, becomes that meeting point so families can enjoy an afternoon and evening at the ballpark and that kind of thing. So that's really what we're all about right now.
Do people think you're crazy?
I don't think so. I've got a few people become crazy.
Outside of your wife, of course.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. Well, she's right up there. Yes, absolutely. My mother, too.
Okay.
People do not think I'm crazy. I think that the response so far has been overwhelmingly fantastic, if I can say it that way. There have been some people who have, of course, questioned the fact that, well, 8 years ago we lost a team. What makes it different now?
Right.
And I've talked about the maturity of the sports market in Ottawa, the fact that we have a very successful hockey franchise. We have two successful hockey franchises, professional and junior, notwithstanding tonight's loss.
You know, you have it over us this season. Enjoy it for now, Mr. Gourlay, because you won't enjoy it for long.
It could be worse.
This is the Kaufman Show. We're going to take a little break. Jimmy's going to give you an update, let you know what went on in the world of sports outside of the Ottawa Senators' loss to the New York Rangers. And, David, I know that most times that you do this on a show, mm-hmm. you probably get a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you a few segments. I really want to dig
Absolutely.
Into this, and we're going to talk about everything to do with Ottawa, and then we're going to talk about it from a Montreal perspective, of course.
Love to.
There's a huge advantage for Ottawa over Montreal in a situation like this, and that's a stadium. This is the Kaufman Show. If anybody wants to donate to that stadium, you can meet me after the show. I take cash. I got the fortunes of heaven and diamonds and gold. I got all the bonds, baby, that the bank could hold. Well, I got houses across the country, honey, end to end, and everybody but wants a
be my friend. Well, I got all the riches, baby, any man ever knew. But the only thing I ain't got, honey, I ain't got you.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, special in-studio guest, David Gourlay. David is with the Ottawa Champions Baseball. Baseball Champions Ottawa. I feel like I'm doing the French-English thing, and I'm throwing it all. Champion de baseball.
Champions for Ottawa baseball. Actually, I did have a city councilor a few weeks ago. Well, you were there when you were in Ottawa for the Bob Elliott
celebration.
Yeah, translated into French and say we were about mushrooms.
Yeah, well, the champignon de baseball d'Ottawa. Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
That's a first for everything, right?
That's next week on Mad Men. Anything? Anyone? Anyone? Jay? No?
Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Okay, good. Yeah. We're trying to look a little bit more in depth than we normally do on a segment. And we're going to spend some time with David here talking about what he's trying to do to bring baseball back. And once again, let's be very clear, baseball's not back. There's a lot of work that's left to be done, especially for David. You're working on a drive right now to show your commitment. Why don't you tell people about
that? That's correct, yeah. So what we did was we in late March, Dave, what we did was we put out a call for 2,500 individual deposits. These are deposits for season's tickets for professional baseball in Ottawa in 2013. This is meant to help secure a baseball team as well as send a signal to the Toronto Blue Jays that we want to have them, that we want to have their affiliate in Ottawa in 2013. We believe, obviously, that as Canada's national Major League Baseball team, they're very well positioned. They're very close to Ottawa. It's easy for any players that are called up from AA to the major leagues, which does happen.
It's the same reason, David, that the Ottawa Lynx were so closely tied
correct
to the Montreal Expos.
Correct, absolutely. And that was AAA, so that was even easier, right?
But AA is where the quality's at.
Well, double
you know,
A.
Vladimir Guerrero didn't play a second in
that's
Ottawa.
That's right. Double A is very good for player development. So if you're a diehard fan of the game and you're into player development at A and double A ball, this is exactly what you're looking for. You're seeing players who are developing the essential skills to be a Major League Baseball player in the show, as they call it. So the opportunity for us right now in securing these deposits with the members of the public, the business community, we rolled out last week a business plan called For the Love of the Game in Ottawa, whereby corporations and local businesses can secure 100 youth deposits at a minimum for $10 each. Those deposits are then transferred to a local charity, social services organization, so that youth have a voice. Disadvantaged youth have a voice today in showing their support for professional baseball, and then those deposits are transferred into tickets for next year's games.
So Business X gives you $1,000 and gets 100 tickets.
That's correct.
And those tickets are not for Business X. That is given to something like Big Brothers, Big Sisters,
right,
or Sontrade or something like
that.
That's
right. We have several partners, United Way, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Ottawa Community Housing, as well as East Nepean Little League, Challenger Little League. They're all on board with us. Those organizations will receive those tickets next year on behalf of the business. And then their youth that are associated with those organizations will be able to enjoy baseball next year. But really the value right now is that business are involved in the drive. Youth are involved in the drive. Charities are involved in the drive. The whole design of this strategy, Dave, has been to mobilize the community, right? And as I said earlier, this is not just about baseball fans. Baseball fans are at the heart of what we're doing. But we want to send a message to the Toronto Blue Jays, the Eastern League, of which a new Ottawa team would play. Everybody who is watching this process from the U.S. and in Canada, the Toronto Blue Jays front office as well, this is our community. We're making a statement that we want baseball in Ottawa.
And you want the Blue Jays.
We do.
You don't want not the Blue Jays. You said the Blue Jays four times in the last segment.
Yes, absolutely.
You seem to very much want the Blue Jays.
This is designed to be a campaign that attracts the interest of the Toronto Blue Jays organization as a AA affiliate. Absolutely, yes.
Now, if we were to say steal your model, I don't think that would be a part of it that would be able to work here, because the idea of Montreal considering itself the minor league affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, I think right away you'd be stumbling out the gate. You agree, Jay?
Absolutely.
But I think it works for Ottawa.
I was wondering that, too. Well, even for Ottawa, I mean, there is a little bit of animosity between Ottawa and Toronto, too.
There is, but you see,
in hockey, I guess it's more of a hockey thing. In Montreal, it's more of a social issue.
I think, Jay, I've been asked about this in Ottawa. I've been asked, well, Ottawa and Toronto hate each other from a hockey standpoint.
Right.
But this is baseball. The Toronto Blue Jays, quite frankly, it's like a monopoly, right? They are Canada's national Major League Baseball team. Paul Beeston, their president, has publicly spoken about the fact that he would like to have more Canadian markets.
And one thing that Mr. Beeston has done, Dave, is he's very much branded the Blue Jays in the last two seasons as Canada's team.
Absolutely.
There's a maple leaf on the jersey now. And, I mean, for crying out loud, they were in Montreal this year.
That's right.
I interviewed Brett Laurie at Queen Elizabeth Hotel.
That's right. So a couple things there. First of all, I don't know if you noticed, Mr. Beeston himself said this on TV about I think it was last weekend. He was on Sportsnet. And he said the logo, the maple leaf, on the new logo is actually larger. The footprint of it is larger to really emphasize that we are Canada's team.
Right, because before we were just Canada's team, but now we're Canada's team.
Now we are Canada's team. So we've got the Toronto Blue Jays have the Vancouver Canadiens, the Class A team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Mr. Beeston, who has also said publicly as well, Las Vegas is the worst possible location for us for the AAA.
Of course it is. It makes zero sense.
It's really difficult to call up somebody at the last minute because it takes a day to get from Vegas to Toronto.
Sure.
Therefore, let's move the markets up to Canada. It makes good sense economically, politically, in every other way. So that's, I think, where the Toronto Blue Jays are taking this type of approach to minor league baseball.
Which I think I understand the idea of Toronto trying to, you know, do you want to think of it as Toronto and it's Toronto trying to assert its dominance over the country? I'd rather not look at it that way. I've tried to say I'm going to be a Jays fan this year, Jay. Dave, it's not working.
You've tried.
It's not working.
I know.
It's not working. I mean,
I told you it wouldn't work from the beginning. I said it's not going to happen. And I know you really did sincerely try. You have been trying.
I'm watching Jays games. I'm reading about them. I mean,
wearing a Jays cap.
I haven't worn a Jays cap yet. I will.
Oh,
when
okay.
I get to Toronto next, I will get a new Jays cap. I think they're really nice. The one in Travis Reitzma's avatar on Twitter is really sweet.
But this is about an affinity to a franchise. In Ottawa, we had the Montreal Expos as a franchise.
Yeah, but then you had the Orioles and the Phillies. And it went to crap.
I was just going to say. Yeah. And then when we changed ownership away from local to non-local, and it went from the Expos to the Orioles/Phillies, that's when things started to fall apart. As a community, you need to feel that affinity. You need to feel that connection.
At least in Canada. I don't think that, you know, we were talking last week with one of our callers, mm-hmm. calls from Asheville. As Jay says, Asheville, NSC, but
Asheville Tourists?
Asheville Tourists in North Carolina, exactly. Yeah. Funnily enough, Joey Eichen, former Expo Lynx, I believe he played for the Lynx.
He did.
He's the pitching coach down there right now.
Nice.
But this is North Carolina, and they're the rookie league, I believe, affiliate for the Colorado Rockies.
Okay.
I don't think it matters in certain places. In Canada, it's a great little thing to have in your back mm-hmm. pocket. Mm-hmm. To know that you can be 4 hours away from your minor league team. If, you know, you give an example, let's say the Jays had a Steven Strasburg.
Mm-hmm.
If Steven Strasburg was making his AAA starts in Ottawa, mm-hmm. you know you'd be selling out Jet Phone Park.
Dave, are you talking about a Washington National?
You know what? The Washington Nationals, Jimmy, did the Nationals win tonight? Did they play tonight?
Who cares?
I didn't hear it. The Nationals are 12-4.
Yes.
Not outside of tonight, the Washington Nationals are 12-4.
First place in the NL East.
They have the best ERA, mm-hmm. starters ERA in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Every starter has an ERA under 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're good.
They're very good.
I thought that this would kill me.
Yeah, we're 16 games in.
That's right.
16 games.
Yeah. So let's just pretend that they finish 120-40. Yeah,
there's 400 games left in the season.
That's right.
You know.
Point is, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I thought it would destroy me to see the Nationals playing well, but none of the guys are there. It's a different team with different uniforms. The only thing that's the same is that they can't pack their ballpark. And there's no hype. The thing I tweeted tonight, the Nationals are 12-4, and with the amount of buzz associated with them, you'd think they played in Montreal.
I wish them nothing but gloom and doom. I'm very serious about that. It's a bad, bad part of my personality to bring out, but I hope there is absolutely no success there, and I hope that nobody comes out to the ball games just so that it can be a sort of I told you so to Bud Selig.
You know,
I do. I wish them doom and gloom. I'm angry.
I understand it, Jay. And trust me, man, I felt that way for a very, very long time. And
it's got nothing
now,
to do with the people of Washington
no,
or anything
of course
like that.
Not.
It's got to do with the business aspect and that whole mess that happened.
They went 33 years without a baseball team, too, eh?
Yeah.
Don't forget that.
This is their third shot at it, too.
This is their third shot at it. I will not blame the people that aren't going now for their grandparents not going in the 60s.
I will. It's in the blood, man.
You're mean. First you're picking on your brother, and now you're picking on the poor people.
Ah, whatever. I'll sleep well tonight.
David, how is this going to happen? You've got to get your season ticket commitments.
Yes. We are closing our drive on May 11th.
And why don't you tell people what they can do to encourage that? Like, sure. You don't have to live in Ottawa. I told you tonight that
no,
I'm going to commit
right.
to two season
I appreciate
tickets.
That. That's right.
And I will tweet it out when I do.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, so they can go to our website, which is champsottawabaseball.ca. We have an online payment platform to mm-hmm. secure a deposit. An adult deposit is $25. A youth deposit is $10.
And just to be clear, a giant hot dog at Texas Stadium for the Rangers games yeah. right now is $26.
There you go.
So you can help solidify the presence of professional baseball in Canada for less than the price of a hot dog in Texas.
That's what we're all about in the Ottawa community, competing with the Texas hot dogs and probably beer, too.
I would imagine so.
So we're asking people in Ottawa and outside of Ottawa as well. I mean, when you look at, you know, economic geographic zones, this is another Jonah Carey influence in the Tampa Bay Rays when the Sternberg administration took over. They kind of took, a 5-mile radius around Tropicana Field and assess that in terms of what's the market. What's the market for our sponsorships? What's our market for ticket revenue? All that kind of stuff. We're doing very much the same thing in Ottawa, not only looking at our community of Ottawa, Gatineau, 1.2 million, but the 2 million people around that. How can we get them involved in this? How can we get them to have a voice in supporting professional baseball in Ottawa? You know, we go back to the Blue Jays. That's exactly what this is about. This is about ensuring that they understand there's a market, that investors understand. What we're doing here, Dave, is we're building an asset to make sure that the culture of baseball, which is not new, I'm not the first baseball guy in Ottawa, that we have a very vibrant Little League organizations. We have amateur baseball. We've got a couple of former players in Ottawa. We're building on that now. It's like another layer where we're saying that we have a broad section of the Ottawa community that's ready to support baseball. I've got 9 honorary patrons that I'm very proud of, including former Mayor Jim Durrell, who was instrumental in bringing the Ottawa Lynx for building the stadium that is now there. And Jim was also a former president of the Ottawa Senators, was instrumental in bringing professional hockey. We've got the current mayor of Ottawa, Jim Watson. We've got Mike Kosevich, who was the Colorado Rockies minor league player of the year in 1998. We've got the business leaders. We've got Michael Allen, who's the president of the United Way. So we've got a lot of people there who are involved in this, saying that we're ready to support a team from every aspect.
You've also got the Sambat people, right?
We do, yes. We have Arlene Anderson, who's president of Sambat, with Sam Holman. They've been absolutely fantastic in supporting this. I mean, what a great news story for Ottawa and our business community and us as a community generally. Arlene and the company and the guys there, they provide bats to Miguel Cabrera, Ryan Braun. Brett Laurie is a client. Some great players in the game use Sambats. They're very well known, and they're right from Ottawa.
That bat has the home run record.
It does. Mr. Batista.
I was going to say Mr. Bonds.
Oh, well, yes, that's right. Sorry, yes. When Mr. Batista hit his 54th.
David,
that
record
Bonds.
Still counts. You know?
It does. That's right. I hope
he was
Arlene's
talking about
not
real
listening.
Records. Yeah. Ouch.
Jose Bautista used it for his 54th, and of course Barry Bonds is a huge client of Sambat.
David, will you stick around for a few more minutes?
I'd love to.
Maybe another segment or two.
I'd love to, Dave.
Good, because not only do I want to keep talking about all the wonderful work that the city of Ottawa is doing, and mm-hmm. I want to talk about the stadium as well.
Yes.
But I want to try and apply this to the 514.
Absolutely.
And see what we can do that hasn't been done yet.
Absolutely.
Let's go out on a little Joel Plaskett, and after midnight, we're going to be giving away 2 tickets to see Joel on Wednesday night at the Corona Theater. Yeah, I'm excited.
Where's
for
my
that
ticket,
one.
Dave?
Get off work, and I'll take you to the concert.
All right.
This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show. Our in-depth look at the revival of baseball in Ottawa and what can be done here.
What can be done here?
Jay, what can be done here?
Here's something here's something that he said that's so essential. The casual fan.
Yeah.
The family. You have to make this product...
not just about baseball.
It's got to appeal to the casual fan, because one of the biggest mistakes that media and journalists and people who covered baseball exclusively, they make the mistake that the 40,000 people that were showing up to Expos games were all baseball fans.
Right.
They aren't.
No.
If there's any expertise that I do have, Dave, is that I kind of have an idea of what the public is thinking because of where I work.
Sure.
And what I do for a living.
Right.
Half the people, whenever the subject of the Expos comes up, what they mostly say is, yeah, remember UP and remember $1 hot dog day and remember, oh, I remember. They remember more of what's happening, not really what's on. I mean, they're not going to nerd out like you and I are.
No,
we're talking
not
about
gonna...
Moises Alou's grand slam home run.
I was just going to
like
say.
Like a bunch of geeks.
Right.
They don't remember that stuff, but what they do remember is the ambiance. And that's the appeal. But
at the end of the day, Jay, that's the appeal. That's the appeal for the hardcore fan, too, because as much as it is about seeing Moises Alou hit that home run,
right?
For you, it's that you were there with your brother. And
yes.
For me, it's that I was there with my grandfather.
Yes.
And for that is what's going to sell you. Baseball pulls hard at the emotional heartstrings. They pull hard at your emotions.
And that's got everything to do with the surroundings.
Even grown men like you and I.
Yes. Speak for yourself. I haven't grown up yet.
Fair enough. Even grown men like myself and my co-host who's still growing up. But I think that's a huge part of it. And again, we'll go back to the thing that I said off the top. We're with David Gourlay. He's bringing baseball back to Ottawa. He has a huge advantage over Montreal in the fact that he has a stadium. Not only is the stadium already in pretty good shape, but they're throwing $9 million at it, right, David?
Yeah, $8.7 million to be exact.
Well, pardon me.
Yes. Hey, that $300,000, you know.
Yeah, it could go somewhere.
Could go a long way.
You're absolutely right.
Is that your
fee for this project?
No, okay. It's not. Okay. No, there are no fees involved.
I didn't think so.
There are no fees.
Good for you.
Doing this because you love it, and it's very obvious.
Dave, I am doing this because I love the game, and I love my home, and I want to see a nice marriage between the two. As I've said earlier, I want to see baseball as part of our fabric, part of our culture in Ottawa. That's exactly what this is about. This is about a pillar, right? Baseball mm-hmm. as a pillar of our community.
And it looks like you're doing everything right to get to that point.
I hope so. I mean, as I've spoken about already, you know, we are trying to have that cross-representation of the community, of the Ottawa community, you know, the Little League kids. Those kids who do not necessarily have that voice, the resources to support baseball now, we want to make sure that they're involved. We talk about the stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. The Ottawa Fat Cats and the Inter-Ontario League are playing there right now. They've got great fan support. I've heard from many of their fans. They've been very successful at the stadium. But there are some things that need to be done to the stadium.
Well, there's a lot of issues. I mean, the parking issue at that stadium was a major factor
parking,
even when the Lynx were there.
That's right. Parking, concessions, there's other things that need to be done. So the city and private money come together for $8.7 million investment. That's the negotiation that's going on right now about a renovation plan. You mentioned the parking. That's something that needs to be resolved as well. And this is about, as Jay was just saying, this is about improving the fan experience. When a family of four goes to a game in the middle of June, they feel they came to the park, they had a good time, kids had a good time. The current plan right now is to actually reduce the footprint. Right now there's 10,000 seats. They want to reduce that to 8,000 and take some of that square footage and dedicate it to a larger play area for children. So they have something to do because, you know, 9 innings of baseball, it's a lot for some people.
I can barely sit still. And I love the game.
For the three of us, we probably sit there and analyze every second pitch and you know, the third base coach and his signals and all that kind of stuff. But for a lot of people, they don't do that.
Can I tell you something? I've never scored a ball game in my life because I need to get up and stretch my legs. I cannot sit there.
Most people do.
Sometimes you just need a beverage.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
and it's not,
and it's not a ball game without one.
It's not as fast. It's not as fast paced as hockey, right? So, and you're outside. It's summertime. It's a beautiful day, and you know you want to take it all in. That's exactly what we are trying to do. That's exactly what the city of Ottawa, the Beacon Group, are trying to do right now, is improve that fan experience. The Fat Cats, as an example, Dave, you and I were talking about this earlier. They had a special program for little leaguers. Little leaguers got in for free, right? But they would bring their families, they would bring their friends, their parents, whatever it may be.
Right, and free is only the ticket.
That's
you,
right.
You still got to buy little Jimmy his
but it
hat
gets,
and his,
it gets
and
people,
his hot dog.
It gets people through the door, and that's exactly what this is about. We have to remember that as fans of the game, we love the game, we watch games, we follow players, we follow teams, whatever it may be. There's also a business side to the game, and that's really what this is about as well, is that this is the business of baseball. This is about a community institution that we will hopefully have in Ottawa that will contribute to our economy and will be able to contribute to a culture of baseball.
We're in conversation with David Gourlay from Champions Ottawa Baseball. You can follow him on Twitter at @champs_Ottawa. We're going to do one more segment after Jimmy gives you an update, and we're going to talk about how David approached businesses in Ottawa and how one might do that in Montreal. This is The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back. Welcome back. It is The Kaufman Show, hour number two. We're finishing up with David Gourlay from Champions of Ottawa Baseball. I'm so impressed by you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
I got to say, you have a dream and you've got a checklist. And it's as if you're ticking off every little thing on that box, and at the end of the rainbow, you're going to find that pot of gold.
That's what we're working towards. Absolutely.
Let's pretend that you were a Montrealer,
mm-hmm.
which isn't hard to pretend mm-hmm. when I look at you in your Expos jersey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If somebody here wanted to do something similar, where would they start?
They'd start with the community, understanding the community, making sure that they understood where support is, how to mobilize that support, how to organize that support, how to draw out that support.
I have no idea what that means. I mean, okay. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's an entertainment factor, and I believe, in my opinion, it's an entertainment factor. It's a trend factor. Right now, people are rocking the Expos hats.
Mm-hmm.
They're wearing the jerseys, and they're people that don't know a lick about baseball.
No,
nothing. I remember when we had our little Expos get together at the pub.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my staff were really into it, and a lot of the waitresses were all wearing Expos gear
they
and
sure
things
were.
Like that. Because you know what? It's trendy, and it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you really have to appeal, like I said, to the casual fan, and make them see. Because there was a one point when you were watching the Expos, you're like, "Wow, this is lame. It's mm-hmm. lame. It's lame."
Sure, because it was me in the section sitting by myself.
Right.
And that looked really bad on TBS.
Yeah.
But I think it goes beyond just the fans right now. Like, one of the most important aspects, in my opinion, of what David has done is he's consolidated the business community and managed mm-hmm. to put them all on the same page. That, to me, is the biggest obstacle that the city of Montreal faces in getting professional baseball to return.
And
not building a stadium, not finding the land, not even getting asses in the seats. It's getting the business community to be on board because they turned their backs on the Expos. And it was understandable.
And they were ownership.
Right.
It wasn't even the business community that had nothing to do with the Expos. So imagine getting all these businesses who are not even partners on this endeavor to get along and be on the same page. That's the difficult part.
How did you do it?
Well, it was a concept that, you know, as I mentioned before, baseball is community. Community is baseball. And what can the business community do to support that? And that's why I as I mentioned before, with the deposit campaign, mm-hmm. is to bring them in now. I had mentioned the 9 honorary patrons. I have two representatives from the Ottawa Chamber of Commerce, as well as the RGA, which is our Francophone Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
We've got a couple of business leaders on there.
So you have, just to be clear, French Ottawa, English Ottawa, both on board with this.
Correct, as honorary patrons.
And you've made it very clear that you need to get both sides on board on the same page.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Dave. I mean, as I mentioned before, this is the cross-section of the community coming together to support an initiative like baseball.
Now, did you ever get any responses like, Ottawa's a hockey town, we can do this through the 67s and the Senators, we don't need this?
Of course. Of course.
Absolutely. What was your response to that?
My response to that was we need to have a diversified sports culture. Hockey will always be Canada's national sport. I'm not ever going to win that battle. I'm never going to win that argument.
Don't even try, man.
I'm not even going to try. Why would I? But we are talking about different seasons. We're talking about different sports, okay? I mentioned before that Ottawa has a very diverse, significant Little League organizations, mm-hmm. Little League organizations, as well as amateur baseball. We're building on that now. We're complementing it like we had at one time. That's what we're doing here. So when we talk about mobilizing the business community, mobilizing our community, and the lesson for Montreal, I think that is a great starting point, right? That's your starting point right there to say, how can we, from a grassroots standpoint, grassroots is not just individuals, it's businesses as well, coming together, talking about baseball as a family entertainment vehicle. That's exactly what this is about. Giving families more options to enjoy their time together in the summer months.
Montreal, you listening? Because that's the blueprint. That's how we get it started. Want to bring back pro baseball to Montreal? Baby steps.
Mm-hmm. It is baby steps.
Get
That's right.
The community on board,
and
all of the community.
And it's also, Dave, it's also political leadership. The political leadership needs to be behind this. We have the mayor of Ottawa, who is a baseball fan. He has put his weight behind this. He is one of my honorary patrons, and he is supporting the champions almost every day. He is right behind us. And that political leadership, not only the mayor, but I've also got a couple of counselors. I've got other counselors around the council table that have been involved supporting this, helping me drive the business interest. It's just been fantastic support all around. So that is the kind of leadership that really comes together and when combined together helps deliver value.
The website, David?
ChampsOttawaBaseball.ca.
You can follow them on Twitter at Champs_Ottawa. David Gourlay, thank you so much for coming in
thank
tonight.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate
Please,
it.
Thank you, man.
Drive safe back to Ottawa tonight.
I will for sure. Yeah.
And we will see you on the 12th in Ottawa.
That's right. Yeah, very quickly. Jose Canseco coming to Ottawa.
That should be a gong show.
It should be very interesting, but he's coming for charity. Young man, Evan Malamud, has brought Jose Canseco, or is bringing Jose Canseco May 12th for a home run derby. And a softball celebrity tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun raising money for our local children's hospital.
And absolutely nothing could go wrong, right?
Nothing could go wrong at all.
That's just going to be a seamless event.
Just keep them off the mic. That's all.
Yeah, I would actually make sure that the ballpark does not have wireless internet that day.
Yes.
Get rid of the Wi-Fi.
We'll arrange that.
David, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
And,
appreciate it.
The Kaufman Show, Jay and I, will purchase a season ticket deposit.
Thank you. That's very kind. Appreciate the support.
Follow them at champs_Ottawa. They do great work, and it's about getting the community involved. This is The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We'll be back. Creatures of the deep forbidden is the true permission to believe. Reaching out for hope, fishermen and thieves, ruining the future, dealing with the past. Even on the floor, ceiling made of glass, merciless and cold, miserable and mood, blinding to the eye, invisible and blue. Cursing at the sun, yielded my advice, open to the air, shielded by the ice. All we do is wait, used to do it all, rhythm of your blood, music through a wall. I would like to share this with the people in Montreal that are not going to have a team anymore. But my heart and my this one's from his foes. Any slaves got the springtime blues real bad. Can't help but reminisce about the great years we had. I remember photo day 83 summer. Yeah, I still have to pick up me, my pops and my brother. I remember All-Star Game 5 band strong. 59,000 fans looking on. I remember tears at the kids' last game. Still
sit right behind him is the anthem played. Now my homemade sign's got his autograph name on the newspaper cover, first rush with fame. I remember singing Valdery, Valderall, 03 wild card race last hurrah. I remember Vlad 40-40 in the call they got wrong. The game against the Braves, Cliff Floyd going long. Still missing Montreal ball 6 years on. Yeah, sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, Jimmy G on the board. John Kakalakis is helping us out. Hilare.
Hilare.
Yasuda.
So I says to Mabel, I says, hey, what are you doing May 3rd?
May 3rd.
May 3rd. No, that's not supposed to be met by silence. You're supposed to know what you're doing May 3rd.
Going to Hurley's.
That's right.
Going to Hurley's for the Gary Carter Charity Benefit.
An evening for Gary Carter. Thursday, May 3rd at Hurley's Irish Pub. Tickets are $30. What? Tickets are $30, you Ticketmaster, you? How dare you? Tell you what, of those $30, $30 is going to go to charity. Every red penny will go to charity. Sarah Cook Fund at the Montreal Children's Hospital is for pediatric oncology. In layman's terms, kids with cancer. Is there anything worse? Is there anything that breaks your heart more than when kids have cancer? And I'll tell you what, it's a charity that Gary Carter supported when he was playing for the Expos. Not the Sarah Cook Fund, but the Cedars Institute, which it's associated with. These are the same people that put on the Kids for Kids benefit that we talked about so much in the new year, or in December. And this is something that's very important to me. We spent a lot of time on this show talking about Gary Carter and how much he means to the city of Montreal. And this is a chance for us to give back. At Hurley's Irish Pub on Thursday, May 3rd, we've got five bands confirmed right now. We have all the way from Ireland, good friend of Old Balls himself, Mr. Brian Wilde, Joseph Kearns, will be joining. Great musician. Just sent me his EP. Fantastic stuff. I can't wait for you guys to all meet and hear him. Kristen Bassandry will be joining that night with her band. Kristen, Bernie Perusse in the Gazette named Kristen one of the top artists to watch in Montreal for 2012. So we're really excited to have her. The Jimmy Riggers. You know them, you love them, you've heard them on the Kaufman Show. You've heard them both sing and kibitz on the Kaufman Show. And you can see them on the Kaufman Show video that is on YouTube. Type in the Kaufman Show TSN. We're all very proud of that. We've got the Blushing Brides joining. Maurice and James, who you've also heard on the show. The Brides are the world's number one Rolling Stones cover band. They've been doing it for over 35 years, and they'll be at Hurley's. And finally, last but definitely not least, he will be both opening and closing the show, just like this segment, actually, Anakin Slade. We also have a silent auction that's going to knock your socks off, including a VO1 trip to Toronto to go see the Blue Jays play. I think it's the Yankees, but we'll confirm that soon in August, like the 8th. But, you know, we'll confirm that soon. Plus, you'll get to spend a night at my favorite hotel in Toronto, the Grand on Jarvis. If that hot tub could talk, Jay.
Why would it want to?
That's right.
At this point.
That's right. Well, the panoramic views it has of the city are second to none. And so, yeah, that's just one of the silent auction items. Hurley's is donating a keg for the silent auction. That's right, a keg. They actually don't do a keg. They don't give you a keg. How are you going to walk out of there with a keg? They give you drink coupons.
Right.
Which
a
will
keg
last,
is a lot of
what was that? 100 and something beverages, right?
Yeah, it's just over 100 pints.
We were just talking with David Gourlay about how he was inspired from reading Jonah Carey's The Extra 2%.
Yeah.
We'll have a signed copy of Jonah Carey's The Extra 2%.
Wow.
At the silent auction.
Okay.
Kristen Bassandry, who I just said is one of the artists to watch in 2012, is donating an hour of voice lessons. We've got all sorts of cool stuff.
And it's not only that. It's getting together with a lot of baseball fans, a lot of Montreal Expos fans, able to reminisce about Gary Carter. That's half the entertainment right there. Who knows what could come out of this? People talking about having a new team. There'll be some debate, but the whole idea is to get everybody together, enjoy the night. It's a celebration. Remember, it's not a mourning. You reminisce.
That's right.
You'll talk with other people who have the same memories and the same ideas that you do. And really, that's the entertainment. It's all about the people, and you're going to enjoy yourselves.
Tickets are available at the bar at Hurley's Irish Pub, or you can send me a message at The Kaufman Show on Twitter or through The Kaufman Show Facebook page. Lots of bands, lots of music, lots of drinks, and a celebration of Gary Carter and all that he's meant to baseball and to all of us in Montreal. And I know how much he's meant to all of you because I've been the one taking your calls about him. And it's been special. So on Thursday, May 3rd, we'll give back a bit.
Yeah, a little Irish wake.
A little Irish wake.
Why
yes.
not, huh?
Yes, not a Shiva, but
not
a wake.
Not a Shiva, a wake.
That's right. So I really hope to see you all down there, and we will continue promoting and talking about it. And let's get that community, that baseball community out there.
And you'll be hearing this one.
Yes, you will. I'll try not to cry. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back.
It was a very, very special moment for me, for my family, and for hopefully all of you, the fans of Montreal.
It was fall 1998 in Pirelli. 3,000 Expos fans was the tally. Glad is there, Rusty gushed about Jerry, but I knew it couldn't leave without talking to Gary. And to tell him all about the day 6 years prior, the night of his last game, the night kid retired. Had tickets in the bleachers, but I snuck down. Needed to say bye the only way I knew how. I told him I made a sign, spent all night drawing, and all I wanted was to make sure that he saw it. The slightest acknowledgement would have been worth the while, but I was thrilled when I got a thumbs up and a smile. We stood together singing the anthem loud. Posed for the cameras, held my sign up proud. The next morning, Dad showed me the paper cover. There was Gary Hannon Hart and me right above him. When I told kid the story, he smiled and asked my name and said he had that same pic at home in a frame.
Thursday, May 3rd, an evening for Gary Carter at Hurley's Irish Pub. All to benefit the Sarah Cook Fund at the Montreal Children's Hospital. Tickets available at the bar at Hurley's or contact me through Twitter. This is The Kaufman Show, and we'll be right back.
He made the magic happen.
He's looking at you, kid. Do you guys expect?
And welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar here with you. And that sound could only mean one thing, can it, Jay?
It's lawyer time.
It's time to lawyer up.
It's time to lawyer up, which I've said before.
Yeah, but not usually in this context.
No.
We're now going to bring in a friend of The Kaufman Show. In fact, he is our Lester Munson. He is The Kaufman Show TSN 990 legal analyst. Welcome to the program, Mr. Dan Gradinsky.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
We're fantastic. How was the rat race down at Borden Ladner Gervais today?
Today was a run-of-the-mill day. We did what we can. It was a good day.
Another day, another dollar?
Exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
And I imagine that you spent most of the day studying up for this segment because you know where your bread is buttered.
Well, I wish I could say that, but we have a late-breaking story here, Dave. We're the last time I was on, we were talking about the New Orleans Saints and the Bounty Gate, as
yes,
they call it.
Yes, it's so hard to be a saint in the city.
Well, apparently, it seems like we're back in New Orleans. Now there's new allegations coming out of New Orleans, and they have to do with wiretapping in the NFL, in the middle of the NFL games. What happens if you're actually listening in on the other coaches?
Oh, my goodness.
What plays are going to be calling and whatnot.
So the accusation is that Mickey Loomis, the GM of the New Orleans Saints, had recording devices installed in the coaches' rooms, the visiting coaches' rooms. Is that correct?
It's not quite. Partly in the rooms, and then also it seems that it might have also been during the games as well. Now, you're probably used to watching a game. You see everybody with the headsets. All that with wireless communications, that's going to be controlled by the NFL. That's been controlled by the NFL for some time. So it doesn't have to do with those, for example, like the head coach speaking to the quarterback. It has to do with the assistant coaches when they run up to the booth. Now, what they're saying is that back in 2002, 2003, and 2004, Mickey Loomis, in his box, basically had access to a little earpiece where you could flip a switch and listen in on what was happening with the opposing coaches.
Wow.
Now, yeah.
Wow.
First time we've heard something like that, right?
Yeah, that's 51 Giants win the pennant stuff.
Well, it's actually, so far this is nothing but allegations. We've got a report from ESPN saying that there was, from their source, that there was a complaint made to federal prosecutors in Louisiana and to New Orleans. So it's not to the NFL. It says that way back when this was the system that was set up. And that once the everything happened with Hurricane Katrina and the Superdome there, that the system was dismantled. So what happens now?
Yeah.
It seems that there's a possible violation of a federal law, a U.S. federal law called the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. Very simply, you're not allowed to wiretap someone else's communication. They've got the rights to privacy. And if you're doing it intentionally, that's possibly a criminal offense.
Right, that's for lack of a better term, that's industrial espionage, right?
That's why
Coca-Cola has the secret ingredient that Pepsi's trying to steal, right?
If you look at it that way, I mean, think about it, in the middle of, if you're running a business and your business is as a football team, certainly the plays you're calling, that's a part of your industrial secrets, your trade secrets, and how you're actually running your business. Now, the thing is that from what the allegations are coming out, they were saying if the last time that this happened was during the 2004 season, there's a statute of limitations, which you might have heard of. Essentially, it means that you're not able to prosecute someone for a crime after a certain amount of time.
Right.
Here, it's about 5 years or so.
So I think, though, even at the end of the day, let's say that there wasn't this statute of limitations, Dan, this seems like something that would be very difficult to prove.
Exactly. You got from the NFL itself, sorry, from the Saints, they've been denying it. So Mickey Loomis has denied it. The head coach at the time, Jim Haslett, says he knew nothing about it. A couple of the defensive coordinators as well. Now, the other thing is you're saying to yourself, well, why exactly would the GM be the one who'd be listening in on it? You know, it's strange because he's not necessarily a football guy at the same time. You know, why wouldn't you let your assistant coach listen into it instead of the GM? There's a lot of things here about the story that they don't seem to make too much sense yet, but we'll see as the details develop.
Will you stay closely involved with the story so that you can report back to us next week if anything develops?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's why we pay him the big bucks, Jay.
I'm just wondering how they got those listening devices. I know there's not enough details right now. Get Ethan Hunt to come in through the ventilation shaft and install these devices. And maybe the fact that the GM, or allegedly the GM, is listening to these things, is it perhaps because during the game the assistant coaches don't have enough time to listen in on the opposing plans, and maybe the GM is doing it and then relaying messages? It's very interesting.
It's very Nixonian, Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually what happened. Apparently the situation is that the former GM had installed that to listen in on his own assistant coaches. And so he had a switch. He was basically figuring out, okay, well, what are my employees doing? I want to hear how they're calling the game.
Sorry, this just got even more Nixonian. That's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So if what they're saying is correct, then Loomis basically said, well, I want to listen in to my guys, but I also want to hear what's happening on the other side of the field as well.
Now, we're going to shift gears here, Mr. Grudinski.
And I'm ready.
I'm going to ask you to take off your lawyer hat. You guys do wear a hat, right?
Most of the time, yeah. It's actually looks more like a wig.
Yeah, do you wear that wig and funny gown?
No, wear a funny gown, that's true, but no wigs anymore.
Oh, man, would I have paid to see you in that.
Yeah, it's too bad. I got to get let loose with the pompadour instead, you know.
Oh, that would be something else. Please leave the pompadour hidden at the Plaskett concert on Wednesday night. Let's talk about this death race stuff. I know we've talked about it with you on air before. I know I think the first time I ever sat in studio with Jay, we discussed Dan and the death race, and Jay was blown away by it. But June 15th to 17th, Dan will be competing in Pittsfield, Vermont. Let me remind you again, Dan is a lawyer. Dan and I went to high school together. Dan will be competing against Navy SEALs, ex-military, a whole bunch of the baddest dudes on the planet. In fact, 300 odd of the baddest dudes on the planet.
Including possibly the Guinness Book of World Records, world's fittest man, the guy who won it the last 2 years in a row.
Tell everybody about the Pittsfield, Vermont death race.
Well, the premise of a death race is simple. You don't quite know when it starts, you don't know quite when it finishes, and you don't know really what you're going to be doing, except that it's going to be long, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to push you to the absolute limits of what you think that you can do. Now, last year I ran it, and unfortunately I didn't finish. I lasted about 24 hours of lifting rocks and walking up rivers and carrying logs up mountains, memorizing Bible verses, all this sorts of stuff. And I was, after about 24 hours, I basically said, okay, that's enough. I'm going to be back next year. And I actually ended up paying my registration fee about 2 days after that. So you can get a sense that it was something that was left unfinished.
And one of the things that we like to do as a friend and, you know, considering you're our lawyers, we like to make your life as easy as possible. Now, I know that you're supposed to get an article written about you, and the last time the article was actually in McLean's magazine, which was actually super cool. But if you don't have an article published, you have to swim 12 miles.
That's right.
They've told you that if there is not a piece of media written about you, that no matter what, everybody else is going to start doing something else, but the people who couldn't get an article published have to swim 12 miles right off the bat.
That's right. So instead of getting started on your 48-hour race, the first thing that you're going to do is swim 12 miles and then get started. So I'm going to try to save myself a little bit of breath, a little bit of energy, and instead talk to you guys for a couple of minutes.
Well, do I have to pitch the Gazette again for you, or is this going to cover it?
We can absolutely see. We can pitch the Gazette, sure. But nonetheless, one of the things that I'll be doing is trying to raise a little bit of money for charity. I did the same thing last year for the Heart and Stroke Foundation at Quebec, and I'll be doing it again this year. So you might as well put these efforts to good use.
Yes, and we'll definitely share that with our audience, a charity that is very, very worthy. Before we let you go, you're working on an even crazier race, right? 7 days. 250 kilometers, you're going to be doing something similar in the Gobi Desert?
A little bit different. Instead of, I'll be knowing exactly what I'll be doing, which is to say I'll just be running straight. Next year, instead of running the death race in June 2013, I'll be flying to China and running the desert. This is one of apparently the toughest races in the world, according to the Time magazine. And you do about 40 kilometers a day. The first 5 days, and the sixth day, you do 80 kilometers, running through, pretty much one of the harshest climates on Earth.
Dan Gradinsky, I say it to you privately all the time, but here we are in front of everybody. I love you, man.
Oh, I love you too, Dave.
I think you're just great, and we thank you for your legal advice, and...
I love you too, Jay.
Oh, I love you. I was saying, love yourself a little more and treat your body a little better. Swimming 12 miles. Yeah, I get tired driving for 12 miles.
Dan Gradinsky, Kaufman Show legal analyst from Borden Ladner Gervais. Thanks, Dan. We'll speak to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a nice night.
You too. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. It's the Kaufman Show. Welcome back. A little Joel Plaskett to bring us in. Joel Plaskett, Wednesday night at the Corona Theater. We will have a pair of tickets to give away after this segment. But I want to talk some baseball because, you know, that's something we haven't done all day.
Yeah,
right?
We should talk some baseball.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did Alain Vigneault get hired?
No, he didn't.
Okay, so we don't have to talk hockey then.
He's
either,
not
right?
going to get hired either. Give it up, people. It's not happening. He's staying right where he is.
That's your brother's number one choice. You and your brother and Brian Wilde when I was in New York talking about...
My brother and I disagree about this.
You're allowed to.
Yeah.
You can defend him. You can stick up for him.
Well, there's one thing we disagree... Vino's not going anywhere. All anyway, right. I mean, we're off topic, but...
We are, but that's okay.
I like disagreeing with my brother publicly.
Jay Farrar, contrarian. This is the Kaufman Show. We've looked in depth at the Seattle Supersonics leaving Seattle tonight. We've looked in depth at Ottawa bringing back minor league baseball and how they're fostering a sense of community and organizing the people, the businesses, the government, and how to bring it back. So, yeah, we've danced around baseball. We've talked with the Sonics. We talked about the Expos. Let's bring it up to 2012. Let's talk about what a wonderful 15, 16 games we've already seen so far this year. And no, I'm not even talking about the Washington Nationals, people. I'm talking about baseball in general. We saw one of the greatest weekends of baseball, arguably the greatest April weekend of baseball that I've ever seen. We've got a couple of guests now. We're going to bring them in one at a time. Without any further ado, let's say hello to Mr. Travis Reitzma from The Score Getting Blanked. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. How are you, man?
I'm tired, but doing well.
Well, for everybody listening on the podcast tomorrow afternoon, wake up. And I know it'll help you do that, Travis. We'll bring in our next guest, who is at the MLB Fan Cave on Broadway and 4th in New York City. He's had a hell of a week. Let's say hello to Benjamin Christensen. You can follow him on Twitter at Shaka Brody. Hello, Ben.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you?
Doing well. Watching a little Dodgers-Braves baseball right now.
Fantastic. Say hello to Travis.
Hey, Travis. What's cracking, man?
Hey, not much. How's it going?
Not too bad.
This is working, Jay.
Worlds collide.
Isn't this amazing?
It's a crossover classic. Spider-Man meets Superman. DC and Marvel are getting together. It's great.
I thought this was the Flintstones meet the Jetsons. But
could be that, too. It's a crossover classic.
I would like to hear from both of you, and we will start with Travis. Your opinions on this weekend's games, and were you as moved as I was?
Yeah, especially Saturday. Obviously with the perfect game, Philip Umber and his perfect game. It's the second perfect game that I've witnessed start to finish, the first one being Roy Halladay's. It was just incredible. Aubrey Huff playing second base, the Red Sox collapsing. It was fantastic. It was remarkably entertaining.
And he doesn't even mention the triple play on Friday night, eh?
Well, yeah. Well, if you count that as the weekend, then yes, the triple play on Friday night was also pretty spectacular.
Travis, here at the Kaufman Show, Friday night is a weekend. I promise you that. Ben, what was it like at the Fan Cave to see a perfect game unfold?
It was pretty exhilarating. We were, not to kind of boast myself on this one, but I think I was actually the first person to like, really notice what was going on. Despite the fact that we had the Yanks-Red Sox game going on, the other game was obviously with the Mariners-White Sox, but I think everybody else was a little more in tune with the Yanks and the Sox just on the basis of Eddie Mata being the huge Yankee fan of it he is, and just watching the Yankees just get bashed was pure joy to all of us. But I was focusing in on what Phil Umber was doing in Seattle, and by the time the fourth inning came around, it's just like, huh. I haven't seen a walk. I clearly haven't seen a hit, and the field has actually been playing pretty solid defense. So, this is a perfect game going. Great.
You thought about that in the fourth inning.
Well, no. It didn't really dawn on me, you know, because usually it's like through one or two innings, it's like, okay, not a big deal. Through three, it's like, all right, you know, the full nine batters have gone through. But once the next three or the top of the lineup goes through again, then you start to really analyze, you know, the fact that they haven't really been able to match up well against the pitcher. So it's like, okay, you start to like really feel like, okay, there might be an actual perfect game in process. So to me, it's a little more scientific than just, you know, peas and carrots. That was a horrible analogy. I will admit that. But just kind of sitting there and you know, checking on Twitter, checking on Facebook, and following along at MLB.com, just a lot of the conversation that was going on. And that was about the point in time when I started mentioning, you know, oh, the Lumber's got a perfect game going. And then every hashtag I had was like, no jinx, because the last thing I want to do is be responsible for blowing a perfect game for somebody.
You know that, and I believe I've discussed this with Mr. Reitzman before as well, Vin Scully doesn't believe in the jinx, and he's got the most perfect game calls of all time.
Yes.
He believes that he's there to call the game, and if you don't know that somebody's dealing a perfect game, then, you know, Vin Scully should be able to tell you. That's not going to jinx it.
It's not always that obvious either. I mean, to me, I didn't realize it until, I think, the fifth. And then it was kind of like they hadn't really said it yet on TV, and then all of a sudden they showed his line.
Mm-hmm.
Zero hits and zero walks, and it's like, oh, I don't think he hit anybody. So this is a perfect game, but they wouldn't say it at first.
Right.
It took a while to kind of figure it out.
Well, my kind of rule on it, guys, is that you've got to go through the lineup twice before you even consider it.
Yeah, that's kind of – it's a good way to do it because that way the pitcher has to show, you know, they're more of their secondary stuff the second time through. And, you know, generally, a lot of pitchers can retire 9 in a row, but 18's kind of – that's getting up there. It's pretty impressive.
It's when they hit the fifth or the sixth inning, usually you'll get a subtle thing from the announcer. Oh, he's put down 13 men. You know,
right.
he won't say anything. He's perfect through five, or he won't say he's got a no-hitter through six. Oh, he's put down however many men it is. It's so stupid.
But so much of that, guys, is a personal thing. It's that, you know, even the broadcasters, we all attend a game, fan, broadcaster, whoever. We want to see a perfect game. We want to see a no-hitter. And you said with your tweets, the no-jinx tweets, you don't want to feel at all responsible. You just want everything to go right. You want the stars to align. You want karma to work out. And you want to be able to have that ticket stub forever that says that you saw it.
Well, I think another thing to kind of look into, especially based on the last two perfect games in the American League, is it was shocking to not see Gabe Kapler in the lineup.
That's funny. That's funny. And the thing that I thought about, guys, was the fact that I believe that this is A.J. Pierzynski's second perfect game.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
So, Travis, a couple of weeks ago, you threw out a trivia question, and I nailed it right away. You asked, who was the only catcher to catch two perfect games?
I know.
Go ahead, Jay.
Ron Hassie.
That's right. Now he
Now
he shares that with A.J. Pierzynski.
Oh, that sucks.
It's really unfortunate because nobody likes A.J. Pierzynski.
Yeah, everybody loves Ron Hassie.
I'm thinking that Philip Umber and Mark Burley love A.J. Pierzynski.
Well, love's a strong word.
He caught their perfect games, Travis. Come on.
I'm sure that outweighs some of the stuff.
Well, I don't know to what you're referring, and I know that Ben's not allowed to be on the radio while you say it. So,
yeah, exactly.
We want him to win this competition. So let's just move on to the next. Actually, and I do want to continue talking about Umber's perfect game. I want to get both of your opinions on the 27th out.
Okay.
Ben, you first.
Me first. I'm trying to remember who said this the other day, but I think I'm going to feel like such a tool for saying this, but I think the reality of what happened with Galarraga in Detroit and the Jim Joyce ball, I have a feeling that regardless of what the pitch was thrown, the umpire behind the dish was just like hoping that there was going to be some kind of a check swing or anything so he could actually, you know, call that out, because the last thing they want to do is the very last pitch of the game, because it literally was. It was a 3-2 count. I know they did not want that last pitch to necessarily be a ball.
No, of course not.
You know, good on Brennan Ryan for, you know, totally selling that he was trying to hit.
Travis?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I mean, if you look, there's a picture that's been circulating from somebody in the crowd that clearly shows Brennan Ryan did actually go through with the swing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to even if he hadn't, the way he sort of stood there and kind of, you know, openly whined about it while A.J. Pierzynski calmly picked up the ball and threw it to first, like, he might have been able to beat it out.
Oh,
had
for
he
sure.
Ran.
For sure. Definitely.
He just kind of stood there and threw his arms up in the air and was all mad. And it's like, why aren't you running?
No, but you know that if that had happened, guys, we would have seen a 28-out no-hitter.
Oh, totally.
That's true.
Which would have been probably more rare than a perfect game, no?
I agree. No idea if that's ever happened.
There you have it.
Well, you've had guys that have gone through. Pedro Martinez did it. He went through the 10th inning with a no-hitter.
Oh, Harvey Haddix, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But in a 9-inning game, I don't know that it's ever. It might have. I don't remember.
Derek Bell decided to charge the mound and ruin everything.
Oh, God, that was great.
Good times. It's amazing how it always comes back to our memories at the Olympic Stadium.
It's all we've got, man. That and Ron Hassey. That's all we've got.
Oh, did either of you guys happen to catch our interview with Jason Reed from Sonicsgate?
No, I mean, the only reason I didn't, it was because I was watching five different baseball games at the same time. So I have a less good excuse.
Well, can I just say this is a must-watch film for any sports fan. And you can watch the two-hour director's cut online at sonicsgate.org. If you love a professional team, and I know that both of you love Travis, I know you love the Blue Jays, and Ben, I know you love the Expos, but I know you love the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic movie about the devotion that one has to a team, and... hold on tight, because, you know, if you let go and they leave, it sucks.
Go ahead, Travis.
Oh, I was actually going to ask Ben a question just kind of in that vein. I mean, the Oakland A's are kind of up in the air right now. There's talk of them moving to somewhere else in the Bay Area. How much would that affect you as a fan? Sorry to take Dave's job.
That's cool, Travis.
It wouldn't really affect me that much because I've been, you know, kind of on the teeter of it for the last 10 years. I mean, they were talking about moving to Fremont. They've been talking about moving to San Jose, Santa Clara. And it's just been such a hassle that the point of really caring whether the team moves or not is just kind of gone now. Like, to me, honestly, I just want to see the A's win. I don't care where it's at. I mean, if it's still within the Oakland area, that's great.
Right.
But I want fans to show up to the game. And I want the A's to win, and I want Billy Beane to produce a winner. I don't want to sit through this major league style mentality that I feel like the team is really going through. I mean, I hate to say that they're like losing on purpose. I mean, they're making some great acquisitions, and there was a lot of talent in that roster.
The players never lose on purpose, Ben.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's 1919.
And Travis found that hilarious.
Yeah.
But I want to see them win. I want to see them succeed, and I want to see the fans definitely go back to the ballpark. And if it means moving to San Jose, so be it.
How far is Oakland from San Jose?
About 40 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's like the Expos moving to Plattsburgh.
That's only based on Bay Area traffic, which is atrocious. So
it could be a 15-minute drive and no traffic?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So it's really like the team would be moving from the east side of town to the west side of town.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what an enviable spot. It's not like they're going back to reopen Shibe Park and bring back the ghost of Connie Mack.
Oh, man, that would be fantastic.
That would be really trippy, wouldn't it?
Anything I'd love to see more than a guy, you know, managing a team wearing a suit would be just lovely.
You know what? I've often thought that would be a really cool thing. I mean, there's a lot of managers who couldn't pull it off. There's a few managers out there who I think would really look good in a suit. I think Joe Madden.
With the hat, too. Don't forget the hat.
Joe Madden.
Yeah, I think we're all huge Joe Madden fans. He just seems like he's the cool guy that likes baseball, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine that guy in a fedora and a suit too, rocking that, managing a game.
Ooh. Oh man. This is turning into a Mad Men episode, guys. this is pretty badass. Gentlemen, you both have things to plug. Mr. Reitzman, would you please start?
Okay. I'm assuming...
Here comes an awkward plug, everybody.
I'm assuming you're talking about Runs Batted Out.
I am talking about Runs Batted Out as well as your wonderful work on the weekends at the Score.
Okay. Well, I've recently started a site called Runs Batted Out, which has been kind of dormant for a week, but this week it's going to start picking up again because I'm less busy in the rest of my life. And it's kind of it's got a little bit of baseball analysis, a little bit of politics in baseball. It's got a little bit of everything. So if you're a baseball fan, check it out. And on the weekends, I do a little bit of editing for thescore.com's Getting Blanked. It's just thescore.com/gettingblanked. And you can follow me on Twitter at Travis Reitzma. That's about it, I guess.
Mr. Christensen.
I'm just going to say, check out MLB fancave.com. My latest blog post actually on the top five greatest catchers of all time, in which case I've got Montreal's own Mr. Gary Carter at number four. And, yeah, just follow my blog, beertobefeared.com. It's been a little bit dormant just because I do most of my blogs through the MLB Fancave website. And, yeah, follow me at Twitter, Shaka Brody, S-H-A-K-A-B-R-O-D-I-E.
You can also vote for Ben on the MLB Fan
Cave
page.
There is that, too. I totally forgot about the voting process on this matter. Shoot.
Yeah, it's this is and, you know, this isn't some political election. This is something that people can actually get behind, Ben. So vote early and vote often. And
right.
Let's make sure.
Where was Ron Hassey on that list, by the way?
south of Nelson, Santavania. Your number one was Yogi Berra, right, Ben?
It is, yeah.
I imagine that you had somebody growing up that talked to you all about how wonderful Yogi Berra was for him to be number one on your list.
Surprisingly not.
No? Terry Steinbach,
I mean,
huh?
For me, well, for me, it was, you know, 10 World Series rings, three MVPs, two of which were back-to-back, and he's only one of, what, 11, I think, off the top of my head that have done that. And then just solid batting average, solid home run, and he was just a great field manager. Oh, and caught a perfect game in 1956 in the World Series.
Yeah, that's
and
by the way, the final pitch of Don Larson's perfect game in the 56 World Series was well outside, and there was a check swing as well, and it was called, and the guy didn't go around.
You let it go. You let
it's
it go.
Baseball.
It's
well,
baseball.
I was going to say, it will never be as bad as the outside pitch Levon Hernandez threw in the last game of the 1997 NLCS.
Yes. Yes.
Listen, if it's anywhere near the plate and the batter doesn't swing, screw him. He deserves to strike out. That's what we say in my league.
I think the rule, gentlemen, that we must abide by is that in the 27th batter of what, if the batter gets out, is a perfect game, the umpire's treating it like it's a Wednesday afternoon getaway day. The strike zone's going to be the size of,
right,
I don't know what, the
right
stadium. They want to get it done. It's going to be in the history books. We've seen 21 now in Major League history. I'd imagine that we'll be at 30 by the end of the decade. It seems to be
it's the new pitcher's era, guys. It really is.
Travis Reitzma, Benjamin Christensen, Travis Reitzma on Twitter, Shaka Brody on Twitter. Thanks, guys. Let's do this again real soon.
For sure. Definitely.
Awesome. This was our baseball free-for-all, kind of like the McLaughlin group on the Kaufman Show.
Nice.
And we'll have them back very soon. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Talk to you soon.
This is the Kaufman Show. When we come back, we'll do a quick ticket giveaway.
Cool.
I think my mic picked up the first cool.
That's okay. I have that booming voice.
That's right.
Yes.
Joel Plaskett, Wednesday night at the Corona Theater, we will give away a pair of tickets to somebody who says something smart. And we'll be joined by Evan Wansborough from The Isotopes.
The Ballad of Ray Ordonez.
The Ballad of Ray Ordonez. You gotta love it. This is The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back. Won't you keep me? I'm a keeper. Rolling, rolling, rolling. My mind's made up, my mind's made up. I'm gonna come clean tomorrow. My mind's made up, my mind's made up. I'm gonna fly straight as an arrow. I'm gonna fly straight as an arrow. Ever since I made up my mind, I'm gonna cross my T's, dot my I's, and everything will work out fine. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, talking a little Joel Plaskett for a couple of minutes. Gonna give away a pair of tickets. We can load up those phone lines. I've got a very easy trivia question for anybody who likes Joel Plaskett. You know, it was the first time I've been nervous doing an interview.
Really?
On this show, was talking to Joel Plaskett.
You didn't seem nervous.
It was,
I know you always tell me afterwards. You never tell me before that you're nervous.
Why? What's the bad?
It serves nothing.
I need to
yes
exude confidence to you, sir.
Yes. Yes. You have
this
to lead by example,
the
my
Kaufman
friend
show. Come
yes
on now. So, yeah, Joel Plaskett to me is a, hey, Jimmy, look at me for a second. See that? Now turn that down for a second. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. See, this whole IQ thing, we got to be looking at each other. Otherwise, it's going to be tough. We can put it back up now. There was just a word that just is inappropriate on TSN 990. It happens.
Yeah, it does happens. Once in a while.
We're looking for the name of Joel Plaskett's new album. That's all we're looking for. It's the name of Joel Plaskett's new album. All right, Jim, so we'll take these calls off air while we take a break, and then we're going to be joined by Evan Wansbrough from the Isotopes. Maybe the best band name of all time?
No. Go-topes. I mean, it's good. It's good.
For this Simpsons junkie,
yeah,
it's a pretty solid name.
Go-topes. I was always a fan of Lords of the Underground. It's just a cool thing to call your band.
And that,
they weren't a band, they were a group.
That defines the difference right there between Jay Farrar and Dave Kaufman.
There's no irony. It just has to be a bunch of cool words together for me.
Still have a couple of free phone lines. What are there, 10, 12 lines there? So we got three free. Jimmy will take your calls during the break. We need the name of the new Joel Plaskett album. Winner gets to go to the concert with me or not with me. Your name will be on the guest list at the Corona Theater. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back. We'll talk a little Isotopes. Kaufman Show. That is the Battle of Ray Ordonez, the Isotopes. They're a Vancouver-based band slash punk baseball club. How cool is that? We're about to speak with their, I don't even know if he's their, as far as I'm concerned, he's their Derek Jeter. He's their captain. He's their Thurman Munson. I don't know why I keep giving Yankees references. I'm not a Yankees fan. Let's say hello to Evan Wansbrough. Are you in Vancouver?
I'm in Vancouver, and I have to go right ahead and take exception to the Derek Jeter reference.
You're a Marlins fan. Who are you going to give as your comparable?
Well, you know, we're talking about Ray Ordonez off the bat. Let's say I'm the Ray Ordonez of the Isotopes out here.
There you go.
Fair enough. I would bet that your batting average is a little higher being a rock singer.
That could be said. Could be said.
your new EP, Blood Diamond, has just been released. And you're about to hit the road and hit the East Coast. And I know that there's a lot of people very excited out here, including the guest that we had just had on, Benjamin Christensen, in the Fan Cave in New York. He's a big fan of yours.
That's right. Yeah, we met Ben on the internet there, and he's a great guy. So we're excited to hopefully meet him in New York.
Yeah, you're playing New York City?
Yeah, we're playing Brooklyn.
Oh, fantastic. And you decided to skip Montreal because of... our lack of music in this town, or is it just the fact that there isn't a baseball team?
Oh, well, I don't want to strike a nerve with you, but we had to make some choices just because we were working with work schedules and stuff. So we decided to do Ottawa, Albany, Brooklyn, Philly, and then Baltimore. And it's like a sandwich tour. We got a festival on either side. So kind of we had to skip Montreal just for time reasons.
Well, they always say that bands trying to make it big, you've got to skip Montreal and play Ottawa and Albany.
Yeah, well, I've heard that somewhere. I must have read it in someone's biography.
Tell us a little bit about how you decided and developed the baseball side of your music.
It really started with not wanting to be in another band that sang about girls or, like, getting wasted or, you know. You know, we all do that stuff, and it's like, does there really need to be another band out there doing that? And as far as I was concerned, a lot of our heroes were going to be doing that better than we could ever hope to do it. And it's always nice to feel like you're, that you're good at what you do. So we thought, what can we do where I thought, you know, what can I do better than anyone or what's not being done? And I thought, you know, I've been playing baseball my whole life and I know a lot more about baseball than I do anything else. So I thought I can write some songs about this probably. And I gave it a shot. And that was a while ago. So we've been doing it all right since then.
I feel like you're almost the punk version of Buck 65.
What makes you say that?
Well, Buck is a huge baseball fan. He was courted by the Yankees when he was in his teens, and still claims that he should have been a major leaguer.
Huh.
And writes a lot of stuff that's heavily influenced by the game.
Huh. Well, you know, I'm not up on my Buck 65.
Oh, you might have to. I think you guys really might be kindred spirits, to be honest with you.
I'll shoot him a tweet.
Yes, that is the way of the future, is it not?
Yeah.
So I was kind of teasing you before, Evan, but are you actually a Marlins fan?
Oh, I am. I'm a big Marlins fan. I think.
Is it the uniforms?
I jumped on board a couple years ago, like just because of the uniforms. I looked around and I thought, you know, who's looking good this year, literally. And Marlins just had some sweet uniforms. But you know, a couple years ago, Hanley was, you know. Hanley was looking a little better, I thought, and I just liked something about them. I liked, you know, I think Florida really, really played into it too. I was reading a bunch of like crime novels set in Florida at the time, and I was really kind of romanticizing Florida. So I just wanted to support the Marlins. And now, a few years later, they've really built, you know, they've really built a pretty good, solid team. And I'm not even embarrassed to say I'm a Marlins fan.
Are you a fan of Ozzie Guillen?
I'm a huge fan of Ozzie Guillen, and I was always a fan of Ozzie Guillen. Always wore number 13, mostly because of Omar Vizquel, but you know, Ozzie was a big influence on me as well. And
it's an interesting. I want to ask you, Evan, because we spend a lot of time talking about the grassroots development of baseball in this country. You're from the West Coast. You're a huge baseball fan. Do the Blue Jays not make you sort of feel, do you not feel like you should be cheering for Canada's team? This is something that we deal with as well. We're constantly forced Blue Jays down our throat. It's on the TV whenever we turn on a ball game. The Blue Jays are all over every sports highlight show. They're being branded as Canada's team. What makes you go for a team like the Marlins and not the easy choice like the Blue Jays?
Well, you know, I should tell you, I was born in Toronto.
Don't worry, you're still allowed on with us. It's
yeah,
okay.
And my head, hello, is anyone? Anyway. but I didn't spend very much time there. I grew up in Vancouver, and I was always a huge Jays fan, you know, through the golden years there in the early 90s. And, you know, Robbie Alomar is my favorite player of all time, and there's a huge connection with me and the Blue Jays, like there is with most people. And you can't really go, you know, you can't really go to a party, and even out here, I've had this countless times where you just like walk into a room and someone's recounting their story of where they were when they saw Carter hit that home run, you know, and it's just like a common story everywhere. And I think the nationalist element to it is what is probably what keeps that club even in Canada, really, because they're relying on a whole country to support them, and that's why they're pushing that, I think. Anyway,
well, I think it's the really big cell phone company with the billions and billions of dollars that helps keep them in Toronto as well.
You know what I heard on the radio? There's no more Rogers videos anywhere that you can rent any kind of video.
That doesn't surprise me.
They're all gone.
I'm sure it's online on demand. There's no Blockbuster video. Speaking of former Florida Marlins owner Wayne Huizenga, that's
good reference.
because of Netflix. That's all gone the way of the dodo bird.
Yeah, yep.
So we're just wrapping up with Evan Wansbro, the Ray Ordonez of the Isotopes. And I know we didn't prepare this in advance, Evan, but do you happen to have your tour dates handy? Because we do have a pretty large audience in Ottawa, and we've pandered to them quite exclusively this evening.
Yes, I do happen to have those handy. We are playing Ottawa Explosion Festival in Ottawa, and that is Saturday, June 17th, sorry. With our friends out there, the Creeps, who are an awesome band as well.
The Creeps.
The Creeps from Ottawa.
All right.
Great They're band. The Jose Canseco of punk.
They're the Ryan Braun's.
The Ryan Braun's. Nice. That's great. Nice.
The Explosion Festival in Ottawa.
Yep.
All right.
Ottawa Explosion. And, yeah, we'll hope to see everyone out there in June.
Yeah, if anybody wants to get tickets, is there a website or something that...
Yeah, there should be a... There's a website. Just Google it. And they'll be for sale at record stores and stuff in Ottawa. So check that out.
Evan Wansbrough, thanks so much. Keep in touch and get to Montreal. We'll pack a show for you, we promise.
We'll do. Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you later.
There he goes. Evan Wansbrough from the Isotopes. Go Topes! For I am the mayor of Albuquerque. One day I'll tell you the story of how I fell upon him on the old Twitter Facebookaroo.
Please do.
Pretty funny
that
stuff.
That sounds interesting.
Musicians beget musicians on the Kaufman Show. It was pretty cool to have a little baseball music. We're going to talk... what's it called? The Thai kicking volleyball?
Oh, yeah. What is that called again?
Tupac Shakur.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
It's a hologram of a sport.
Is that what it's called?
CPAC McGraw. CPAC Takraw. No. That was right. It's CPAC Takraw.
CPAC Takraw. That's yeah. it. Yeah. yeah. Okay.
There's a wonderful The Onion video of... there's like an American play-by-play guy.
Right, the analyst.
Give me the damn CPAC Takraw ball. This is the Kaufman Show. Jay and I will be right back after the break. Coming in on a little Sam Cooke on the Kaufman Show.
I like ye.
I like Shake It Like a Bowl of Soup.
Yeah. You can't really shake a bowl of soup, can you?
There's a swagger.
Without injuring someone.
There is a swagger in this song.
Sam Cooke is the epitome of swagger.
Kanye wishes he had Sam Cooke's swagger.
Oh, don't even say those two names in the same sentence. Please.
Let's go to the phones. 514-790-0990. If you're out of town, it's 1-866-896-2546. Lots to talk about. There are these this thing called the playoffs that we're more than happy to discuss as well. We also hopefully gave you a lot of food for thought tonight about what has to be done to help bring baseball back to Montreal. And I know that nobody cares more about developing a sense of community in our city than our next caller. We have John in Denver, Colorado. Hello, John.
Hello, sir. How are you?
We're very good. How are you? Thank you for waiting.
That's what I do, apparently.
It is, and you do it quite well.
You'd be surprised. It's really not well.
What can we do for you tonight, Mr. Crazy John?
I was going to start off with something, but you know what? First, I got to give you some credit.
Do you?
I think what you're doing is great. The Gary Carter stuff, they're trying to bring Montreal back to baseball. Bring baseball back to Montreal.
Well, I'm not trying to bring baseball back to Montreal. I'm trying to bring and refoster that sense of pride and community that baseball fans have. And I don't necessarily think that having the baseball team right now, I mean... I'm on the radio. It's 1:20 in the morning on a Monday. I think you can figure out that I don't have the money to bring baseball back to Montreal. But my heart is in the right place, and I think that when you think about all that Gary Carter has done for Montreal, it's going to be really nice for Montrealers to be able to gather and congregate at Hurley's on the third and maybe give back a little bit. And like Jay said, you know, not often you get that many baseball fans in the same room. And good things and good ideas can only come out of this.
Yes, sir.
So
you should be congratulated.
I'll take your compliment. Thank you, sir.
But not Jay. Never Jay.
Well, what did I do?
Nothing. No, I'm kidding. You did nothing, and that's why.
Well, wait, watch how long you're going to be waiting next time there, bud.
Couldn't be longer than tonight, could it?
It could.
Anyway.
It could, but let's hear what you got to say.
What I wanted to do tonight was call in and congratulate the Winnipeg Jets / new Quebec Nordiques on winning their first series in 20 years.
Wow.
Quite handedly, too.
What was that? Yeah, that
quite
was
handedly. Mike Smith was incredible in Nets tonight, especially in the first period.
Yeah, he was great. Did you hear that? Did you guys get the American feed up there for that game, or did you guys have a crew down there?
I believe
it was on TSN.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I'm sure you could have watched both, but why would you watch the American feed when you can watch the TSN?
Right.
I would love to watch TSN, but the point I'm bringing is there was a joke Smith cracked because they interrupted his interview with Engblom.
Uh-huh.
With the goal horn, he's like, what were your impressions of the first period? And he said, not hearing that horn. But
not bad.
Yeah.
I got everything I wanted to except a Vancouver Riot this first round.
You wanted a Vancouver Riot?
Do you want me to say no? Because it's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's entertaining.
There was very little good that came out of that riot. And frankly, there was a pretty ridiculous riot this week in Montreal
as
well.
I heard about the one up in Alberta, so I probably shouldn't have made that joke.
In Alberta?
Yeah,
are they rioting tonight in Alberta?
I didn't know there's nothing to do up there, is there?
Oh, well, Sarah Palin's about to be elected
mall.
In Alberta tonight.
God.
You think I'm
Good
kidding?
Luck.
Go look up the Wild Rose Party, John.
I don't want to.
That Fair enough.
See, you guys are my place when I'm going to go escape the United States once everything goes to hell down here.
Yeah, well,
don't worry, we won't be far behind.
That's right.
But seriously, I got everything I wanted. The Canucks went out. The Wings went out. The Pens went out. If only Ottawa did their job, then I would have had I don't want to say Christmas, but damn close to a Merry Christmas in July.
Well, they're going to seven. We'll see.
John from Denver, obviously having a very happy Hanukkah in April. we thank you for the call, good sir. And
have a good one.
Catch up with you next week. All the best.
Always. Have a good one.
Now, do you think he gets off the phone and says, was that worth the wait? Was that worth it?
Why not?
I'm hoping yes. Wonderful. I'm hoping that he says, that's worth sitting on hold for 20 minutes.
Well, he wasn't bitching too much about it.
No.
You know? I don't know. You took a shot at me for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know.
It's all right. I like him anyway.
He doesn't know you. If he knew you, he wouldn't pick on you.
Well, yeah, that's for sure.
One of our favorite callers is now on the line. Mr. Shatner, good evening.
Good evening, and how are you?
Fantastic. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. I was listening to one of the two gentlemen you had who was talking about his loyalty to the Oakland team.
Yes.
You know, it's very, very easy over a long period of time to have loyalties to a bunch of different teams without feeling yourself to be a traitor. When I was a kid, the team that I supported, because I lived in Windsor, was the Tigers.
Sure.
As far as I was concerned, I was a Tiger fan all along. As a matter of fact, when I was in Montreal, I was still a Tiger fan. But a lot of the Royals in those days that were an independent team wound up playing for other teams. And I used to always hope that their team would do well. And I remember in one World Series, Cincinnati was playing Detroit, and Jimmy Ripple, who used to play in the outfield for the Royals, was playing for Cincinnati at that time. And he got the deciding hit that won the World Series. You talk about divided loyalties. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I stated the Tigers were my favorite team until the Dodgers came along and took over the Montreal franchise.
Right.
And, of course, I became a Brooklyn fan and followed them everywhere they went. They were my favorites until they went to Los Angeles. And I felt like the people in Brooklyn, I felt betrayed.
Sure.
Because when the Royals were not going to be their major farm team under any circumstances. So Rand Tricke was at Pittsburgh at that time, and three of the ex-Royals, Roberto Clemente, Don Hoke, and Rocky Nelson, were playing for Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh became my team until Montreal got a franchise. As far as I was concerned, Montreal was my team. And when Montreal went down the drain, at that time, Terry Francona became the manager of Boston, and he was one of my favorite players when he played for the Royals. And I became a Boston fan. After what they did to him last year, I felt naked this year. Had nobody to cheer for. Back I went to the Detroit Tigers. So the idea very simple is you become attached not only to the team, but the players who played for that team. And as they do well, that's what makes you happy for the team that they're playing for.
I agree with you, Conrad, and I'll tell you, that is something that I'm learning as I learn that sports is more of a business. When I was young and I thought that a player would play his career with an entire team, yeah, it was okay to be a fan of a team. And I'll take this to hockey for a second, and I'll show you that it takes a long time for this 31-year-old to grow up. The real big decider on that for me was Saku Koivu. Because when Saku Koivu left the Montreal Canadiens, it showed me that anybody can be traded. If the guy who's dying of cancer and comes back through some sort of miracle and leads your team to a first-round playoff win can be traded, can go, then anyone can go. And the fans in St. Louis learned that this year with Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
And the fans in Pittsburgh learned that 20 years ago with Bonds. And it's a sad reality of life is that, yeah, it's better off to cheer for the players than it is to cheer for the team, because if you cheer for just the team, you're going to end up disappointed.
Absolutely.
Conrad, thank you so much for the call.
My pleasure.
Have a great night.
You too.
We'll take one more, Jimmy, and then we'll have to get Tim Lyle on the phone all the way from Vancouver, BC. We've got Mike in St. Leonard. Good evening, Mike.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you, sir?
Good. Great show as always. You had some really great guests this evening.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I just wanted to talk for 1 second about the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're lucky they're playing in the NFL. I remember a couple of years ago when in the Formula One, when the McLaren F1 team got themselves into a little espionage trouble, they were fined $200 million, which is basically what their prize money was for that year, plus a little bit out of their profit. I mean, so there are leagues that will take that kind of stuff really serious. And if this was run by the kind of czars who are running F1, you could see that these guys would actually have probably what they'd call a suspended sentence of 1 year.
What an interesting example to use by saying F1, considering the controversy that F1 is under right now for staging that race in Bahrain over the weekend.
You know what F1's about is about the dollar sign.
Yes, it is. There was a wonderful piece in the New York Times this weekend that explains it very thoroughly.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back to the origins of F1 in Germany in the 30s.
Yeah, and Bernie Ecclestone, who runs it now, is an absolute beast.
Yeah.
Commercially, probably, like they say, worst guy who you could ever deal with in business. I mean, he always holds all the cards, but yeah, at the end of the day, everyone's getting paid. When you think that $200 million, everyone was first shocked, and then they realized that was their cut of their prize money for the points scored. Then you realize the kind of money that's floating around there, and if it means going to Bahrain, come hell or high water, you don't care if there's riots on the streets for staging that race, you kind of know what's going on.
Hey, Mike, they were doing it in South Africa during apartheid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, big deal. We got a race.
Right,
we got to make
exactly.
some money. The other thing I want to talk to you about, that excellent guest you had on from Ottawa.
His name is David Gourlay.
Gourlay,
and,
okay.
And I'm so impressed by him. I think that he's doing everything right, and would love nothing more than to copy his model. And all we'd need is a stadium.
I know, but I got to tell you, I am so jealous of what they've done there.
It's only 2 hours away.
Yeah, you know what? We want our own. I mean, that's great. I may actually try and make it down there with my family. My whole thing about Montreal is, you know what? I'm a typical Anglo. I'm not listening to way enough French media, so I don't know what the debate or the talk is on that side. But the fact of the matter is they couldn't find a local owner for the Montreal Canadiens.
That's right. I've talked about that on air.
Exactly. So I don't – and, you know, all the guys who I really have a hard time with even now who were part of that consortium that owned the Expos were all local guys with very deep pockets. And as soon as you go outside and it goes on to your first guy who with the Wasonic Gate, when you get outside ownership who comes in and it's not necessary. Starbucks, I just paid $5 for a coffee before coming to work. You could have kept that team.
Yeah, but you know what? Schultz knew that he was in trouble from the second he bought the team. He was not the owner. It was very Schultz, if we're going to compare everything in the Sonics gate to what happened in Montreal, Schultz was Claude Brochu. He wasn't Charles Bronfman.
Yeah, exactly.
He was the guy that got the team, had good intentions, and then thought, hey, wait a second. I'm making all this money from the coffee. Why am I blowing it on basketball?
Basketball. You know, but this is where it comes down to, you know, the local guys here. I mean, when are local Quebec businesses going to step up and invest in stuff like this? I mean, it's nice to have the one-year events like the Jazz Fest or the F1 where it's one and done and there's a lot of hype. But long-term investment, I mean, you look, it's a Bronfman, it's a Molson. These are old English names. And that, I mean, they always talk about that divide and how the English are a minority. And recently in La Presse and the Journal, all these articles about how the English aren't taking enough interest into French style.
All stemming actually from L'Actualité.
L'Actualité, that's right, that article.
A very one-sided article in L'Actualité, which I am trying to prove wrong by spending more time east of Papineau.
Exactly. I totally get that. But on the ground level, I'm not sure the debate is as heated. But on a very political, on a media level, we see it even with the way the media deals with the Canadians and the way they kind of petition themselves to, oh, we have a French coach and a French general manager, that kind of stuff. I'm not sure it really represents really what Quebec is. But you know what would be nice? If someone with really deep pockets who's a Francophone would say, you know what, I'm going to invest in Quebec. You know, I want to see Jean Coutu. Why didn't he step up instead of buying a chain of pharmacies in Vermont?
Because
and
the chain of
New York,
Mike,
you know?
The chain of pharmacies in Vermont, let's say he buys them for $30 million, in 5 years they're going to be worth 60.
Exactly.
If he buys a baseball team right now, then he's got to build a stadium.
Long-term investment. Sorry,
just I don't think that he can afford to be as I don't think he can afford to buy a baseball team and then buy all those stores in Vermont.
Long-term investment is obsolete.
I have one name for you. I've been saying it on my show since July. The name is Guy Laliberté.
Yeah.
And the man prints money for a living.
Yes, he does.
He prints money for a living. He's had the guy has so much money that he has been to space.
Yeah, he had some of my money too, so I know he's.
Me too. Cirque du Soleil is a hell of a product. And right now his big MO is clean water for the entire world. And you know what? Dude's got his priorities straight because even me, the biggest baseball fan you'll ever meet, thinks it's more important that thirsty kids in Africa have clean water.
Yeah.
You know, even I can say that. And, you know, check out, I appreciate that you listened to the interview. And once again, I appreciate that you spend so much time listening to our show from front to back. It's one of the great things about this is our listenership and the fact that people listen for so long. Jay and I really appreciate it.
Well, you guys have done an excellent job. And I got to say, out of everyone who I listen to on your station, one day Mitch will retire, and I can kind of see that you'll be the guy who will replace him. So just remember that I said it first in case there's any kickback involved.
No pressure, Coffee.
None. You just mentioned my idol, so I'm just going to blush and say thank you for the call, Mike.
Thank you.
And you know what, Mike? I want to see you down at this event on the 3rd at Hurley's. If you can make it, I would love to have you there. Send me a message. Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter.
Send me a message so I know who you are, and I'll reserve you a ticket.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too. I don't know what to say.
There you go. Yeah, speechless. Kaufman is speechless.
It happens every once in a blue moon, and that's a very, very nice thing to say.
But you can never replace Mitch. You can only succeed him.
I have talked a lot on this show about how much Mitch Melnick means to me, both personally and professionally. And all coming back to 20 and a half years ago when I heard Mitch on CJAD announce that Magic Johnson had HIV. When he was doing 5 o'clock sports and I'd just gotten out of a hockey practice, St. George's Elementary School, Westmount Arena, I get into the backseat of my dad's car. And my dad's never been a sports fan. And the radio was always on the news talk station. Always. But back then, Mitch was doing sports there. And My vivid memory of it is my dad would always tell me to shut up when the business news came on. And for some reason that day, I was feeling gutsy. And when the sports came on, I said, shh. And oh my God, Magic Johnson. And straight to the audio of Magic at that press conference. That was November of 1991, Jay.
I remember it well. I don't remember the actual broadcast, but I do remember.
Magic Johnson now owns the LA Dodgers. One of the best stories. You asked me 20 years ago where I thought Magic Johnson would be in 20 years. No, I wouldn't have been seeing him on Letterman last week, that's for sure.
Who knows, especially at that time when advances in medication and care for the HIV were nowhere near what they are nowadays. We didn't expect the guy to be alive within, never mind 20 years, within 2 years.
Greg Louganis is still alive.
That's right.
It's medical science, unbelievable stuff.
I just noticed something lately. I've been here since 1980.
After the break, we'll be joined by Timothy Lyle, a Montreal-born actor starring in a very, very well-received web series called Hitman 101. Also a huge Habs fan, so we'll talk about the Habs and their mad dash through the Stanley Cup playoffs. I can't even say it with a straight face.
Yeah, well, why would you? would he even say it?
I don't know. This is The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, and we'll be back.
Especially Luciano Bartolana.
Okay, man. What do you think?
All right, whatever.
A lot.
I've been listening to a lot of Levon Helm.
Yeah, pretty special music, isn't it?
Yeah, I watched The Last Waltz a couple of days ago.
Oh, it's amazing.
Just to, you know, I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
My father introduced me to that album. I still have the vinyl somewhere.
There's something really special about Neil's version of Helpless with Joni wailing in the background.
Yeah, that seems to be the most special part of it. But I mean, there's a lot of great songs during it, and there's so many intricacies. You could see where the band was going. You could see the interaction between the members wasn't exactly. I mean, maybe people didn't notice it at the time, but in retrospect, now you can look back and say, yeah, that was The Last Waltz.
Levon Helm changed the game for drumming, singing, and drumming.
That's right.
And
there weren't many that were doing it at a time. Maybe Phil Collins and, you know, Don Henley, but that's about it.
Mickey Dolenz.
Mickey Dolenz, yeah. Yeah.
But Levon was something else, and so much so that he transcended genres. Think of the Elton John song, Levon, which was named after Levon Helm.
Yeah. He shall be Levon.
And he shall be remembered, and just because we played a lot tonight doesn't mean we won't next week and the week after and the week after. One of the greatest groups of all time, The Band. Now, before we bring in our next guest, I just want to very quickly give you a little tease as to what you can expect next week
on
The Kaufman Show.
We've had so many great guests this week. What's happening next week?
Can you believe we're going to go right back at it?
That's what we do, man.
We're going to be joined by Jim Baumbach from the New York Daily News. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Baumbach, Baumbach. Jim is live tweeting the entire Roger Clemens trial from the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. Fantastic stuff. I've been watching his jury tweeting live tweets of the jury selection, and it's been amazing. It's like you're there, man.
Through tweets.
It's been, I guess you're allowed to tweet in the courtroom. And so we'll be joined by Jim, as well as a very special in-studio guest, Jeff Baker from the Seattle Times, who we had on the show a few months ago. Jeff's a native Montrealer. He used to cover the Expos for the Gazette, used to cover the Blue Jays for the Toronto Star, now writes for the Seattle Times. And poor Jeff Baker had the day off on Saturday. Guy works like a dog. He covers it. He was even in Japan covering the opening series. He had the day off on Saturday. Good for him. Take a day off, relax. Missed a perfect game.
What a day.
Poor guy.
Well, listen, yeah, it's true, you know.
Poor guy. That's what
it's only happened 21 times, and he picks that one day.
So we will definitely rib Jeff for that next week in studio, but it'll be a nice little stroll down memory lane of Montreal journalism for Jeff, as well as a lot of great baseball talk about what's going on now, because he, well, he covers one of the crappiest teams in baseball, and we're going to get to hear all about it.
We're all about crappy teams.
We're big fans. Let's bring in our next guest. He's a dear old friend of mine. He's now living in Vancouver, British Columbia, where he's a very well-respected actor. And you can catch him. His web series, Hitman 101, has received critical acclaim. He's a huge Montreal Canadiens fan, which it's got to be tough living all the way out in BC. Although, at least he can make fun of the Canucks right now. Let's welcome Timothy Lyle to the show. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening, Dave.
How are you, sir?
I'm well.
Good.
Nice day out here. Yeah, Canucks were embarrassed yesterday. Things are well.
Was it all quiet on the Western Front last night?
It was. It was, I was working in the day job in a bar, and people were, they lost, and that was it. They walked out. That was, typical Canucks fans kind of thing.
Cops out on the street or no?
No, nothing like that. I saw a little footage from downtown. There was some people, walking away, with sad faces from the stadium, but no riots.
All right, the PSAs worked then. The "We are all Canucks and let's be good this time."
Absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean,
maybe they were just too dejected, didn't have the energy to turn over a police car.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think all for the better.
Many of them.
I'd say all for the better that there were no major catastrophes last night, especially after last year. I can't imagine it. I think the Vancouver fan base has a long way to go before they start rioting after the first round. That's something that we kind of have a handle on over here.
The Montreal fans riot. We riot when we win. That's the big difference.
That is very true. Tim, why don't you tell us a little bit about Hitman 101?
All right. I guess I'm here to plug stuff. Huh?
Yeah. Well, don't worry. We'll get right back to the sports in a sec.
All right. Hitman 101 is a 12-episode web series. For those of you who don't know, web series is exactly what it sounds like. It's a series on the web. You can watch it completely for free. Basically, a crime thriller series made by, people putting their time together to make something they cared about. And, we just went down to L.A. where we won a bunch of awards at L.A. Web Fest, along with some other Canadian series are good at this. So you can check it out, hitman101.com. And, like us on Facebook after you like the Kaufman Show, obviously.
You want a few more people than like the Kaufman Show on Facebook. We want to get your numbers up.
Bad Guy Films, the production company behind it, we've got a few more than the Kaufman Show. But, like them both at the same time. And
thank you, Tim.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Dave.
Thank you. Tell me about the awards in L.A. That must have been pretty cool.
It was pretty fun. I'd never been to L.A. before. I don't know if you've been. It's
I have not.
It's an interesting town, put it mildly. we were down this L.A. Web Fest, which is about their third year, just because web series in general are just starting to kind of pick up, and people are getting to notice them.
Well, I think people are realizing, Tim, that they watch so much regular TV on the internet anyway that you might as well just bypass the Netflix or bypass the big four networks and actually find something with some cool writing and some different takes on things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of them are kind of independently financed. It's basically any genre you can think of is out there. If you're looking for sci-fi, if you're looking for action, you're looking for soap operas, looking for comedies. I mean, there's basically anything you can think of. There's 180 shows that were in the WebFest, basically all over the world. We were lucky enough to win one of the grand jury prizes.
Congratulations.
No, thank you. It's mostly due to my director, Scott. I have to give him a shout-out because I think he's listening.
Well, I think your acting has a little bit to do with it, right?
Obviously. I got to take credit for something. Fine. But, so we won a grand prize trip to Marseille, so even the French liked it, so it's good.
Oh, well, there you go. 50 million Frenchmen can't be wrong, right?
50 million, there we go. We needed a Simpsons reference in there at some point.
We're in conversation with actor Tim Lyle. Tim is living in Vancouver, British Columbia. How long has it been since you were living in Montreal, Tim?
Now it's going to be nearly 6 years.
Wow.
Now. You mentioned it. Yeah, I know.
Unbelievable, man.
Time flies.
Get your ass back here.
Well, Okay. I'll come back for you, Dave.
Thanks, man. Awesome.
That sounded so genuine.
I'll give up the dream. Come back.
Yeah. Just visit Dave.
There are no dreams that can be achieved in Montreal, right, Tim?
Well, you know. No. Maybe, you know, once hockey season next year starts up, maybe.
I guess that you would consider coming back to Montreal to do a web series, but most of them here, you can't keep your clothes on, right?
Exactly. That's the Montreal's big in that part of the web video world, right?
Which is not what Tim Lyle, our guest right now, is.
Not yet. It hasn't
not
come
yet.
To that yet.
Tim, what's it like being a Habs fan on the West Coast?
It's fun. You know, there's lots of Habs fans out here. I went to the game this year when one of our few victories when we played the Canucks, and we basically took over the stadium.
That was a great game, Mr. Geoffrion's first goal.
Mr. Geoffrion's first goal, Markov's first game back.
That's
after
right.
His lengthy absence. It was a lot of fun, but there's a lot of Habs fans out here. Basically, a lot of everything fans. I mean, Vancouver is made up of a lot of people who are from different places, so. Lots of Oilers fans, the only problem is watching games at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's kind of difficult sometimes.
Yeah, I guess there are positives and negatives to that, I'd imagine. You can watch the Habs game
nice.
And then do your night, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's still, you know, in the playoffs, you're done, you can still go out, the sun's still out. It's very nice, and if you're up in Whistler, you ski for the day, come down, game's waiting for you as soon as you get off the hill. But
did you just snap your fingers?
I did.
I thought, yeah, I could hear that. It was you come down the hill.
That was my fingers. That hit was the bar. And there's a Habs game on. It's perfect.
Not bad. Not bad, Tim. And I would imagine that you have an RDS subscription.
I do. I had to cave and get it a couple of years ago. I couldn't take it anymore.
I understand completely, and it must allow you to keep your French a little bit out there.
Yes. It's a nice taste of home to listen to Pierre and, well, I mean, I turn off as soon as L'Antichamp comes on.
But Pierre Oud is one of the best in the business. And if you want to learn French, that man speaks perfect French. So, yeah I know a lot of people have picked up some phrases from him.
For sure.
Yeah, and much better. And with Benny gone, you know.
Aye, aye, aye.
French is... Ay-yi-yi. That's Benny Brunet's commentary wrapped up in a nutshell, basically.
We're just wrapping up with actor Tim Lyle, and I do want you to share if you have any good stories from the... there was a big convention in Vancouver this weekend, was there not?
Yes, the Fan Expo, which is kind of like Comic-Con, but it was like the Vancouver version. With the good stories, I saw Lou Ferrigno. Looking good. There's a bunch of the stars from Star Trek who all look very old. You know, this is what they do now for their living is kind of go to expos and sign autographs and stuff.
Did you sign any autographs, Mr. Lyle?
I did. I don't think the people like really knew who I was. So it was basically kind of like forcing my autograph upon them rather than them asking for mine. But, it was something. A few people actually knew who we were, and we hadn't, like, they weren't friends of ours, which was nice. So.
Well, that's always exciting, isn't it?
It is, quite a bit.
Well, hopefully after your middle-of-the-night appearance on the Kaufman Show, even more people will know who you are.
I assume there's millions of viewers globally, so...
Millions of viewers, millions of listeners. The podcast is like, I think it's bigger than Simmons right now.
Well, you do have, I think...
Richard, not Bill.
Some odd... likes on Facebook. So,
that 260 right now, but who's counting, right?
Well, there we go. You can add 260 fans to the show right now.
Damn straight. Timothy Lyle, you can find him on Twitter at Timothy_Lyle. He has promised me that he will start tweeting more frequently. He's up to five tweets.
First tweet because of you.
Yes. Well, I will hold you to it, Tim, and I will continue to pester you on Twitter. And hopefully we can both have you back on the program when there's something to plug. And have you in Montreal, and you'll come join us in studio next time you're in town.
I would love to.
Wonderful. Thank you for your time, Tim.
Thanks, Dave.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There he goes, Timothy Lyle. Check it out, Hitman 101, the web series.
I'd like to give out a shout-out to Elias Tufexis.
Who they?
Well.
I wonder if they crossed paths.
They might have. He's been at Fan Expo a few times for... work he's done on various TV series, but he also picked up a couple of video game awards.
Saw that.
Yes, for his voiceover work on Deus Ex and a couple other video games. So
I also saw his wife.
Congratulations, Lee.
Yowza.
Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, hey, come on. That's Michelle, man.
I'm allowed to say that Elias
She's like my sister-in-law.
Well, she's beautiful, and I've never met her, so I'm allowed to say, well done, Elias Tufexis.
Yeah, that's just about, you know, he couldn't do better than that.
Add a punch above your weight class, buddy.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well done. Jimmy, we're going to take a little break. See, I told you we weren't done with the band. This is the Kaufman Show.
Yeah.
Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show.
You don't knock, just walk on in. The door, heaven is. There's love, joy for you. To share, the whole day through. I know my friends are there. To rest, heaven is. You don't knock, strength, push a hole. Walk on in.
Welcome back. Running at a racetrack here on the Kaufman Show. Think about Ted Teevan all the time, man.
Why not?
Absolutely. So it's been an interesting one here on the Kaufman Show tonight.
Covered a lot of
bases.
A lot of bases. No pun intended.
Or every pun intended ever. Come on. You know me. I'm a cheesy bugger. If I can find the pun, I'll take it. Let's open up the phone lines for this final 20 minutes or so. If anybody wants to pipe in, I know it's late, but hey, we're here.
We're always ready to listen.
That's right.
To what people have to say. Whether they agree with us or they disagree with us.
And both of those happen all the time.
Yes, they do. More often than not.
But that's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Do you really want to you want to listen to somebody that you agree with all the time?
No.
You want to hear sycophantic radio?
No.
No.
No, I'm a glutton for punishment. I want to hear somebody who has nowhere near the same views that I do.
Pretty much.
And I'll listen to him even more.
And then you can
because it just makes me mad.
Right. You can sit at home and yell at your radio. Oh, that idiot.
Yeah. It's called stimulation.
1-866-896-2546 is the long distance number. It might as well be on our dime and not yours. 790-0990 is the regular line. And I don't know. We've talked a lot of baseball. I feel like we should move a little bit towards hockey right now.
Sure.
And you know, the last time we spoke, Jay, was 24 hours after the insanity of the Sunday afternoon matinee.
What
Pittsburgh
is
Philly.
Going on in Pennsylvania?
Pretty much. And I know we both took very different sides of that debate. But, hey, that series did not turn out at all the way we thought.
No, it didn't. In fact, it was kind of the reciprocal of what everyone expected.
Yeah.
It was a complete mind game. It was a complete mind game, and Pittsburgh fell into a trap, and Philadelphia took full advantage of it.
I was shocked.
They knew exactly what they were doing the whole time. It was so strategic, and I was actually very impressed by Philadelphia's coaching and their whole philosophy behind that series. Incredible turnout.
I said it last week. I'll say it again. Patrick Burke has made me a fan of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, geez. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Not when they're playing the Habs. But, you know, everything about me was the renaissance of Sidney Crosby this year, and what a wonderful story that's going to make. And I thought, for sure, Pittsburgh's
if he
a
gets
lock.
Out of the first round.
I thought it was a lock.
Yeah.
I thought it was when Crosby came back and was able to play at a level, and the way Malkin was playing, I just thought Pittsburgh was a fait accompli.
They looked unstoppable. Philadelphia knew that they couldn't be an equivalent factor when it comes to talent as compared to Pittsburgh. So what did they do? Mind games.
Yeah,
and
well,
it worked.
In the meantime, Claude Giroux has shown that he's one
the best hockey player in the world,
unreal.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if the Jagger platitudes were quite correct, but
yeah.
Just everything about that series was so off. And I said it before that Pittsburgh played like Philly and Philly played like Pittsburgh, but I don't know how else to explain it. And maybe my preconceived notions of Philadelphia being this, you know, rough and tumble team are just that. They're preconceived notions. They're stereotypes. It's the Broad Street Bullies, and they always have been, and they always will be. And if it isn't Bobby Clark doing something that he shouldn't be doing, then it was Ron Hextall hitting Chelios over the head.
Right. Well, but it's not exact. I mean, like you said, Dave, it's pretty simple what happened. You know very well, and you've seen this in the past, Evgeny Malkin, if you can get inside his head, he has a tendency to take hissy fits.
Oh, and dumbass penalties.
All you got to do is piss him off on one play, and he'll come back and try to get you for it. He'll stick you in the groin. He'll do whatever he can because he hasn't found a way to let things slide. And you saw the same, oddly enough, coming from Sidney Crosby.
Right.
They acted exactly the same way.
Jay, did the Penguins remind you of the way that the Penguins played when they lost to the Canadiens? Or do you think that was just running into a hot goaltender?
I think they ran into a hot goaltender more. The Canadiens don't play. I mean, at the time, who did they have? Max LaPierre. Basically, that kind of instigator who could get inside their head. I mean, obviously, Canadians have a lack of instigators and tough guys, so that's not exactly what happened the last time around. I believe it really was a hot goaltender, like you said. So, I mean, they were just basically the guy got hot, and they just couldn't put the puck past him.
So, good vibes being sent to the Philadelphia Flyers from the Kauffman Show. And all really emanating from Patrick Burke and the karma that he has set out from You Can Play. I hope the guy gets a ring.
Sure. Why not?
And yeah, there's a lot of
for
other
him.
Things. Exactly.
I could care less about the Flyers, but for him.
I'm talking about Patrick Burke.
Sure.
And all the good that he has done for the National Hockey League in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
That he deserves it.
Absolutely. Why
now,
not?
Do I think that the goaltending in Philadelphia is going to carry them to the Stanley Cup? Hells no.
And there's only so many times that you can play this kind of mind game with certain teams.
Right, right.
I mean, it worked with Pittsburgh. They saw weakness. They took advantage of it. Malkin, Crosby, not being exactly on their game. Can they do this in the second round?
I am never the guy to promote pan-national sentiment. I'm not that guy.
Pan-national sentiment.
Yes, that's correct. I am not that guy. But kind of like the Senators right now.
Okay.
And not because they're Canadian.
No, because they're playing the Rangers.
No. No. What? No.
I don't like seeing the Rangers win. I don't know,
you know
why.
What? I do not. There are two National Hockey League teams that I don't like to see win. One plays Game 7 Wednesday night, and the other missed the playoffs, too. Can't cheer for the Leafs. Can't cheer for the Bruins. Now that ties have been eliminated, I hate watching those two teams play. Anybody else? I'm kind of indifferent.
Yeah, I feel mostly indifference as well. I don't really care. I am also not a fan of the pan-national kind of jumping on the bandwagon of a team just because they're in the same...
It's insane.
Within the same borders
I don't
as
think
you are.
It, you know, this country is very large... And
right.
Very wide, and there's very little that we can share in common except for Timothy Lyle living there with the city of Vancouver.
Well, that's what
and
I said.
And it's one thing when it's Canada and we're all cheering for Canada.
Different.
Go, Canada, go. We got London 2012, and it's nice to know that from Clayquot Sound to Cape Spear, we can all cheer for the same team. But the pro teams...
And nobody's divided about it.
You know, the people on Twitter that are a team gets eliminated, and I want to send out hugs to all of the Detroit Red Wings fans that are in my timeline. No. No. You know what? Come golfing with us. That's it. You're done. We're done. Bring on the next round. And
it's just good
hockey, and I want to see good hockey.
That's right.
I want to see, you know, I don't want to be bored by the Blues. I know they're a good team. I don't want to be bored by them. I kind of like what's going on in Phoenix because it reminds me of Montreal.
I side for the underground, the underdog. That's what I do.
Yeah. It's easy to cheer for the underdog.
It is. It is. That's why I would have really liked to have seen the Sabres in the playoffs. I mean, having a team for so long without a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. And I don't care where they play. I don't care who's on their team. And that's like what I said during the final last year. I feel I have more in common with Boston than I do with Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. I was all about the Bruins last year.
No, I wasn't rooting for them, but at
no,
the
I,
same
was,
time,
I was. I decided before the stand. I'm telling you, Jay, I've never gotten more comments on Facebook than I wrote when I wrote, "God, this is going to hurt. Go Bruins, go!"
Yikes!
And people were like, they called me a traitor. They called me a traitor, and especially all the people that knew that I was out at the Olympics. They're like, "You are just here. How can you not be cheering for Vancouver?" Well, that's part of the reason is because I saw the apathy from Canucks fans.
Right.
The smile when you're winning and when you're not, it doesn't matter. And you can say a lot of things about Montreal Canadiens fans, but this season has shown that win or lose, the passion is always there. Let's go to the phones. 514-790-0990. Look at this. It's the Lucky Charm. Good evening, George.
Hey, good evening, Jay and Dave. I thought I'd give Jay first billing this time.
That's okay. That's okay.
Thank you, George.
And I didn't call him something else besides Jay.
No, because you haven't called in like a month, so you knew you had to get it right.
Well, there's a reason why I haven't called for a month, because I've been going through in and out from Sacré-Cœur Hospital because my mother was in there. So
that had to make me really feel bad, George. I wasn't trying to shame you into anything. and we all obviously hope that everything's okay with your mom.
Actually, thank you for that. Yeah, she's home now, so everything's good.
Good.
I was driving back, and I was listening to the show, and I heard you say that, you know, Guy Laliberté would be a perfect candidate to bring baseball back to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
But he's more interested in clean water than he is baseball. Is that what I understood?
Well, it wasn't that he's more interested in clean water. It's that the man
That's
has
his project.
That is his side project right now from what he does, and he obviously works very hard with Cirque du Soleil, but all I was sort of throwing out there was that somebody who has enough money to send himself to outer space obviously has the type of money that we're talking about.
Oh, obviously. There's no doubt about it that if there's somebody who's got the coin to back this project, it's him. But hopefully, you know what? You know, if enough people start talking about it, maybe the buzz will get to his ears. That's what I say.
Well, we've been talking about it since July on the program. When Roger Brulot announced that somebody had approached him 2 years ago and that Roger told him to come back in a year and that someone had approached him again. And I'm sorry, it was actually people, not person, that Roger had been approached by a group of people. And right away, I theorized that Guy Laliberté had to be that person. And at first it was because of something very stupid. It was because at the final Olympic Stadium Expos game in September of 2004, Sequoia, the radio station, had a contest where they paid somebody to buy the last hot dog and bring it to them. They then cast the hot dog in, I think, bronze, made it into a statue, and sold it. And Guy Laliberté purchased it, I believe, for $800 or $900. So that showed to me that the guy obviously has some sort of an attachment to baseball in Montreal. Otherwise, why would he spend $800 on a hot dog?
Well, you can do that in Texas. You can spend $800 on a hot dog.
Well put.
Yeah.
Or you can buy season tickets for Ottawa.
Yeah.
By the way, that perfect game, the way I saw it, it was tainted in my book.
Because of the 27th batter, you mean?
The 27th batter, in my opinion, from watching baseball all those years, in my opinion, that was a check swing. And you know what? That umpire just didn't want to have that thrown on his shoulder. That it was another umpire's call that cost a perfect game, and he just called a strike, and that was it. But I wish he wouldn't have finished the game the way that it did. That's all. For me, looking at it from my perspective, that was a check swing. He didn't go around. He checked it. It didn't even go. I don't even believe that he even broke a 45 degree angle on that check swing.
Not my issue with it, George. My issue is with the runner not running out the play.
Well, he was too busy arguing the call. I mean, that was silly to begin with.
Right.
But anyway, it's a perfect game, so we'll live with that.
That's right. And you know what? Like Ben Christensen and Travis Reitzma said during our little baseball McLaughlin group style free-for-all, there was a lot of, you know, the fact that Jim Joyce with the Armando Galarraga blown perfect game last year must have factored in somewhat.
I'm 100% sure about that.
So this should have been the 22nd perfect game, and instead it was the 21st.
Dave and Jay, I got one thing important to say.
Yes.
I've got two tickets for next week, May the 3rd, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
I'll be there.
Wonderful, George. Thank you. I cannot wait to see you down at the Gary Carter Benefit on May the 3rd.
No problem. It's my pleasure, Dave. It'll be a pleasure to see you guys.
Good stuff. You better open up that wallet for the silent auction. There's some good stuff in there. I know you're going to want that Toronto road trip.
For sure, yeah. All right, guys. Good
Thanks,
night
George. Have a great night, man. Thank you. And I'm happy that George brought it back to our event on the 3rd.
Yes, and glad to hear from George as well, and glad to hear that his mother's okay as well.
Yeah, great to know that hey, we were worried about him.
Yeah. You hadn't heard from him in a couple of weeks. Said, where the hell is George,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We mentioned it off air.
We did, and I actually got in touch with him during the week. I just wanted to make sure
everything was okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You're good that way, Dave.
I am. Yes. Yeah. So George is coming to the evening for Gary Carter on Thursday, May 3rd at Hurley's Irish Pub, and I hope that you will as well. That's right. I'm talking to you, Montreal. There will be a silent auction at this event. I'm going to read you a couple of the items that we have so far. We've got two Via Rail return tickets to Toronto, along with two Blue Jays tickets and a night at the 4-star Grand Hotel on Jarvis Street. We're going to have some Just for Laughs tickets, hopefully gala tickets, a keg from Hurley's, a signed copy of Jonah Carey's The Extra 2%, which I have a feeling David Gourlay from Ottawa is going to bid pretty heavily on after hearing what an influence Jonah was in David's desire to bring baseball back. Artwork from Dwight Baird. You guys all know Dwight Baird for his iconic Expos art. He used to have a booth at the Olympic Stadium. I met Dwight when I was 13 or 14 years old. He signed a beautiful Expos lithograph for me. And I'll be meeting with Dwight this week to pick out a piece of art. Original art.
Wow.
Yeah, super exciting. Katie Hines, who I don't think I mentioned her by name before, but we talked about Sherman Alexie from the Sonics. Katie Hines is our Sherman Alexie.
Right.
Katie Hines is donating a Pete Rose bat, which she got when Pete Rose was here for that half season in 84. So that should be pretty cool. Bunch of books, restaurant gift certificates, whole lot more special stuff to be announced. I know that we've got a rafting day trip that we're working on right now. The Montreal Canadiens, you know they're going to pull through with something awesome. And, well, my favorite part of the night is the fact that we've got 5 bands playing. It's going to be a bloody festival at Hurley's. It's going to be, it's going to go late. Tell the boss you won't be in early on Friday morning. We've got Joseph Kearns from Ireland, Kristen Bessandry, the artist to watch in Montreal for 2012, according to the Montreal Gazette, the Jimmy Riggers, the Blushing Brides, and Anakin Slade. Tickets are $30. I know that sounds high, but every penny of those $30 is going to charity. It's going to the Sarah Cook Fund for the Cedars Institute at the Montreal Children's Hospital, pediatric oncology. Let's raise some money for kids with cancer, and let's show...
And have a great time doing it.
That's right. Yeah. And see our baseball brothers and sisters.
Right.
And listen to some good music, and raise some good money for a good cause. And like David Gourlay said, it starts with the community. You know, we're going to stick 150 baseball fans in a room. You know some good ideas and good stuff's going to come out of it.
And some interesting debate and memories as well.
For sure. For sure. And just because there isn't a team right now doesn't mean we all can't get together and celebrate. And celebrate what Gary Carter has done for Montreal. I know a lot of you, well, we've talked a lot in the last few months about how much Gary Carter's meant to all of us. And this is a way that we can give back. And I'm really excited for it. I think we're going to have a wonderful night on the 3rd of May.
Yeah, we haven't had a real wake in the city. So let's consider this the Irish wake.
Not in a little while. And we haven't had one for the kid. So yeah. This is going to be our Irish wake for the kid. And this Jew is very excited to be throwing the Irish wake. I can't wait. I'll put on my Jameson face right now, Jim.
Nice.
So that's going to be just a wonderful night. Tickets are on sale at the downstairs bar at Hurley's Irish Pub, which means that if you go down there now, you've got 38 minutes to get yourself a ticket. Or you can go during the normal daytime hours if you wish. You can also get in touch with me at The Kaufman Show on Twitter or on our Facebook page, The Kaufman Show. And I really hope to see you all down there. We've sold about half of our tickets so far. And you'll be able to tell by how much I promote this on the show next week how many tickets we've sold since then. If we're sold out by then I probably won't be mentioning it much at all. If we aren't, then you'll hear me. Oh, you'll hear me.
They'll come out, Dave.
I know, we'll I know. I know. It's all going to be great. And if you build it, they will come.
Yep.
And, you know, this is for charity, right? This is for a cause that means a lot to me. The Sarah Cook Fund is a charity in the city that does a lot of great work in... I believe that there is a research division to it, but it's also about comfort. And it's about comforting the kids and the families that have to go through this ordeal. And frankly, man, I can't imagine it. I cannot imagine it. And let's just hope that we can have a nice, successful evening and raise a lot of money for it. Couple of minutes to talk about this Sonicsgate film, which I watched yesterday, which premieres on CNBC. We had the director on, my goodness, 3 hours ago? 3.5 hours ago off the top of the show. His name is Jason Reed. It is Jason Reed, right? Yeah, it is Jason Reed.
Whoa, whoa.
Sometimes, Jay, I convince myself that they're called something else. And all day long, I was like, we're going to be joined by Brett Reed. Brett Reed.
You get that.
And then I look at the name and I'm like, oh, geez, I better get this right.
Subconscious name in
your
head.
And then right before he comes on, I'm just sitting here in my head and I'm going, Jason, don't mess this up. Jason. When I was 13 for my bar mitzvah, my mom had one instruction and that was it. Of the whole party, she said, I don't care about anything. I hate yellow flowers. I don't want yellow flowers. Do not get yellow flowers.
Okay.
Every flower was yellow. Because she said yellow flowers so many times that the florist heard she wants all yellow flowers. Not, she doesn't want any. So.
I almost called Ron Hassey Ron Hainsey before.
Well, so. that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense. By the way, Benjamin Christensen did pipe in and say that Ron Hassey still reigns supreme.
Excellent. Good.
Yes, Ron Hassey still reigns supreme.
I'm keeping his memory alive.
Ramon Castro caught Mark Burley's perfect game. So Ron Hassey still has the record for most perfect games caught.
With two.
Len Barker for the Cleveland Indians and El Presidente, El Perfecto against the Dodgers. Oh, good times. So this Sonics movie, I know it obviously means a lot to me as someone who's lost my team to see a documentary about how easily one can lose a team, even if it's established and the market is great and supportive. And Seattle is the 13th largest market in the United States. That's a big time market for
right.
The NBA to flip at the bird and head off to Oklahoma City. They were in an interesting position that Montreal was not in. They were essentially told, shut up, and if you don't shut up, you're never getting a team back. And because of that, everything happened very quickly there. They were scared off by the business of sports. And man, am I excited for the Olympics, where the business of sports, yeah, it's there in the sponsorship, and it's there in the commercials and all the rest of that garbage, but those athletes are very different. It isn't that same big business BS that you see. And it's
yet.
So much easier as a fan to wrap your head around that pan-national sentiment than it is to see that a professional team can be lorded over you. And if your community doesn't decide to raise taxes and build a stadium, then we're going to go off to the city that will. History be damned. Tradition be damned. I thought I was alone, Jay. I thought we were alone in this town. Watching Sonicsgate showed me that we're not alone. This has happened and is continuing to happen. And I don't know how to fix it. I listen to David Gourlay and I'm inspired and I want to do more and I want to rally the community and I want to make this a thing. And I don't know how. It's like there's this massive wall in front of me and I don't know how to climb it. And I understand that it's baby steps. It starts with, you know, you light a match and it starts a forest fire, right? We've got to light that match, Montreal. We've got to figure out a way that we can all get on the same page. French, English, it doesn't matter. We need to work together. We need to solidify this community before we have the baseball team, before we have the stadium, before we have the plot of land. Can we do it? I don't know. But man, do I want to try. And as long as we have this platform, we'll continue talking about it. We'll continue talking about baseball and how magical it is and how important it is. And how much someone like Gary Carter matters to us. And let Gary Carter's death bring about something positive. Let Gary Carter's death be the conduit for us to bring baseball back to Montreal in some form. Maybe not a team on the field. Let's get kids playing baseball again, for crying out loud. It's just not there anymore. To listen to David Gourlay tonight and talk about all of the different minor league communities in Ottawa and the people that are on board, and they have businesses spending $1,000 so that 100 kids can get baseball tickets. Show me that. Doesn't exist here. Everybody has turned their backs on Major League Baseball, on minor league baseball, on professional baseball. Go Habs, go. Go Impact. Not enough. It's not enough. I want more. And I'm inspired. And I want to know how to take that step. And if anybody wants to take that step with me, then I'll walk with you. But we have to do this right. There are so many things that have to be done in order to get this done properly. And we cannot screw it up. Because if we screw it up, then it's the next generation or the generation after that. And then you're like Washington and you're waiting 33 years to bring back a baseball team. We turned our backs on baseball. The fans, the media, corporate Montreal, the politicians, we all turned our backs on baseball. But it's not too late. It's maybe too late to have Gary Carter throw out a first pitch when they come back, but it's not too late to remember the history and the future. There was a time when baseball meant something in this town. And for a lot of us, it still does. And if you listen to this show, then you know how much I miss baseball and how integral a part of our city I thought that baseball was. And I want nothing more than to tell you that I will fight until my last breath to bring it back. But like I said, I don't know how. So I'm going to keep listening and keep having conversations with all of you. And I'm going to keep watching movies like this Sonic's Gate. Where's our Sonic's Gate? Why hasn't anybody made our Sonic's Gate yet? I want to make that movie. I want people to know our story. I want people to know what happened here. We're a much bigger city than Seattle, you know. And we had a lot to lose too, and we lost it. And it's going to take a lot to get it back. And in the meantime, let's remember how good we had it. And come join me on the 3rd and we'll talk a little baseball. Maybe we'll figure out a plan as to how we can all talk about baseball sitting outside somewhere watching baseball in our area code. And in the meantime, I'm going to put down money. It's only $25 to give Ottawa a chance to get their team back. And I suggest you all do the same. Because they've got a wonderful product over there. And it's only 2 hours up the road. Jay, that was my rant to close off the show. Hope you enjoyed it.
Can't say I disagree, my friend.
I miss baseball. And nights like tonight, where we talked about baseball for 3 hours, essentially, solidify that. I look at someone like Ben Christensen in the Fan Cave in New York City. And hanging out with Ben reminded me why I love baseball. I think maybe you guys all need a little Ben Christensen's in your life, too. I think everybody should go and go down to New York, bang on the window at Broadway and 4th until Ben comes out, and have that guy just explain his passion. He doesn't even have to explain it. He exudes the passion, which used to exist here. This is Sonic superfan Alexi Sherman.
I tried to appeal to them through my columns and talking to people and trying to find what's the thing you love, the thing you love the most. What's that thing? And what would you do for it? To keep it, to have it. What's that thing? We had Ray Allen here. Ray Allen is very likely the best shooter who has ever lived. There is likely nobody on the planet who has ever been able to do this one thing better than Ray Allen. I mean, imagine that. In this city lived a human being who was better at their thing than any other human being who has ever lived. He lived here. He played here. There were 41 nights a year, 50 nights a year, when you could have gone and seen that. The ultimate expression of a human endeavor. The ultimate expression of a human skill. The ultimate expression of human dedication. The way in which one man, through hard work, through years of hard work, through his own passion, through his own poetry, became the very best in human history at one thing. And people let that go.
For me, Jay, that's Vladimir Guerrero. And every time he says Ray Allen there, I'm picturing Vladimir Guerrero throw a ball from right field to home plate on a bounce. And we let it go. We had our Greek gods here.
Or hit a home run on a bounce.
Sure. Sure.
Why not?
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And it's gone. And I know it's eight years later. But for some reason, it feels, in certain ways, it feels just as fresh. In other ways, it doesn't. When I look at the Washington Nationals now, I don't feel like wanting to kill myself. That's gone. I look at the Nats. They're just another team, another uniform, another stadium that doesn't sell out. It does not make me feel, when I see the Nats, like I'm looking at the Expos. And thank God, because if I did feel that way and saw that the Expos were 12-4 right now, I'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, enough time has gone by where that's kind of faded away. So,
but it's all this talk in baseball, and I don't think it's useless. I know somebody on Twitter wrote yesterday, all the useless Expos talk. And I wrote back, ouch. This doesn't feel useless to me. Still cathartic, man.
If it's so useless, why is there so much of it going on? That's my question.
Well, no, but listen.
He says all this Expos talk,
mm-hmm.
all of this Expos talk, which means it's gotten his attention.
Right.
So if it's so useless,
well,
why
is
it happening?
That's just because I'm so good at the media machine.
Jim. Right.
Come on.
No, it's self-explanatory, you know, and you said earlier you don't want, you know, you're going to take the baby steps. Well, I'm too spoiled for that. I want a team back.
Yeah, I want it to,
and I'll
Jay.
Do whatever I can to get it. And believe me, I'm a determined guy. I don't have the means. I don't have the cash. But whatever role I could play in it, I want a Major League Baseball team back. It can work. It will work.
You know, it would have been good to be back in 1966. At the dawn of all this.
Who died?
Let's play hooky.
Should I close the door?
Remember when we used to represent double-sided aluminum?
I remember twins and a hospital.
Not that part. Bob Huzitz moved over to Howard Johnson's to help them with their new models. So, how about a completely debauched and unnecessary fact-finding boondoggle to the flagship in Plattsburgh, New York? Just an hour from scenic Lake Placid.
Are you kidding me?
Did you ever hear the one about the farmer's daughter?
This is where it all takes place.
No.
Don, come on. Alone, I'm an escapee from some expensive mental institution. The two of us are a couple of rich, handsome perverts.
I love Howard Johnson's.
We'll try and stop by.
I think Montreal's an hour away.
The whole point of going is to forget about her.
Oh, madmen. Anytime you have a Montreal reference, you know I'm going to be down. So, yeah, take me back to the 60s, and we can do it all right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a Mad Men episode where it takes place at Expo 67
that's,
in Montreal.
You know what? I tweeted that to Carey on week one. Yeah, and I think he wrote back, Jerry Parker bust.
There you go.
So hopefully Don Draper will head up to Jerry Park and catch an Expos game. I'd like to see how they do that. And that was the Kaufman Show. Only 3 hours and 40 minutes later, I think we've done our work tonight, Mr. Farrar. Well done.
Thank you, sir. Well done to you, too.
I'm so excited for Wednesday night. Corona Theater, Joel Plaskett. Going to be a blast. And as always, we're going to go out on one of our favorite Joel Plaskett songs. But I want to thank our guests. Jason Reed, the director of Sonic's Gate, thank you for opening my eyes. Premieres on CNBC on Friday night and Sunday night. Check your local listings. Always wanted to say that. David Gourlay, Champions Ottawa Baseball, doing great work. And us in the 514 support everything you're doing in the 613. We're jealous and we're impressed. Travis Reitzman from The Score and Runs Batted Out. He is our baseball expert. Benjamin Christensen from the Fan Cave, initially from Portland. He is why we love baseball. Evan Wansborough from the Isotopes. Music and baseball? I got nothing bad to say about that. We like everything Evan Wansborough does. Check out The Ballad of Ray Ordonez, their video on YouTube. And actor Timothy Lyle. Thank you for your time, sir. We wish you all the best. Hitman 101. And let's not forget Mr. Dan Gradinsky from Borden, Ladner, and Gervais. John Kakalakis, thank you, sir. Jimmy G, always appreciated. Jay, you want to do this again next week?
Sure, why not? I got nothing else to do.
Cool. We'll be joined by Jim Bomback from the New York Newsday about the Roger Clemens trial. And we'll be joined in studio by Jeff Baker, Seattle Times baseball writer. That's right, he's flying all the way to Montreal just to be with us. May 3rd, Hurley's Irish Pub, an evening for Gary Carter, an evening for baseball, an evening for Montreal. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Riviere de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman for Jay Farrar. And we'll be back next week.
What'd that sound like?